The CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android phones, BlackBerry, and WebOS phones. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
Are you ready, Steve? Andy?
Yeah!
Bert? Well, all right, fellas. Well, let's go!
You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/CFRN. Over 85,000 titles. Choose from mystery, romance, religion, science, technology, business, New York Times bestsellers, even children's books. You name it, Audible has it. With 85,000 titles to choose from, you're sure to find the perfect audiobook for yourself or to give as a gift, and it's absolutely free. Just point your browser to audibletrial.com/CFRN. That's audibletrial.com/CFRN. And become a part of the audiobook revolution by downloading your free audiobook today. audibletrial.com/CFRN.
Hey, trader, want to get rich quick? Well, good luck with that. If, on the other hand, you actually want to learn how to trade, the place to be is www.cfrn.net. Tune in Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern for our daily devotional, and then spend the next 3 hours learning how it's done from professional traders who actually trade for a living. That's www.cfrn.net. Every trading day from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living.
Good afternoon, traders, and welcome back to the CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast. This is the daily broadcast of indeterminate length where we discuss all things E-Mini along with some really big ideas on the finer points of trading gold, bonds, crude, sugar, the euro, and even T-bills. Joining us today from our studios in Boston, Mr. Michael Bork. From our trading desk in Chicago, Mr. Burton Schlichter. And from our studios in Las Vegas, Nevada, Mr. David Williams. Now, to get things started, let's go to our host and founder in Studio A, overlooking South Mountain, America's largest city park. Here's Dwayne.
Good afternoon. Welcome back. Today is Wednesday, 17th day of July, 2013. Quick look at the numbers. The Dow down 3, S&P up 3, comp up 7, gold down $19, crude up 8 cents a barrel. Big news today, of course, Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke testifying, talking, and this has become quite the interesting little song and dance. The last FOMC announcement, Fed Day, Bernanke comes out and says, yes, we will. And then the markets crumble. And so six littler Feds come out and say, no, we won't, no, we won't, no, we won't. And the markets recover. And then this morning, Bernanke comes back. Well, no, then Bernanke comes out on notes release day and says, no, we won't. So we've got, yes, we will. And when I say yes, we will, I'm talking about we will cut back the stimulus. I could have probably said, no, we won't keep buying bonds, but I've already put my foot in it. So yes, we'll cut back the stimulus. And then six littler Feds say, no, we won't, no, we won't, no, we won't. That's supposed to be six times. And then Bernanke comes back on stage and says, yeah, they're right, we won't. And then this morning he pops back out and says, yes, we will. Come on. Now, is it that they don't really know what it is they're going to do? Or are they trying to keep us guessing? Are they that smart? I mean, I don't know. I honestly don't know. But the latest word, and we'll read some of the, it was a prepared statement, and then he took some question and answers, so none of it's a secret. That's always amazed me. If you're going to publish what you're going to say before you say it, why do you even need to say it? But let's face it, there's a lot I don't understand. Okay? But hey, how are you? Happy Wednesday. So glad to have you with us. This afternoon we do have a class, 4:30 Eastern. This is for those who are currently on the free trial. We're going to do two or three of these classes a week for new people, just because in the mornings it's a fast and furious pace. Lots of trading going on, you know, points being thrown up. And it's difficult to get your questions in or to get them answered, perhaps to the degree that you would like them. So we're working on something new this week. We had our first one Monday. It was supposed to be for 30 minutes. It ran almost 2 hours. Today, I want to get right down to business, and I'm going to do my very best not to wax eloquent. Good luck with that, because I have an appointment that I have to keep. So we're going to try to do 30 minutes. I don't want to discourage you from coming and asking your questions. Please do. But I'm just going to try my best to be very direct in answering your question. Now, if I don't give you an answer that resonates, that you understand, say, well, try it again. I'll keep working it. It's like we had a question yesterday. I think it was Bob Z in the after show. I was trying to explain a concept to him, and he just couldn't quite get it. Now, it's not his fault. I just wasn't explaining it. But finally, right at the end, it clicked. And then I encouraged him to ask Michael about it this morning. So, Bob Z, I hope you did that, and I hope he was able to clarify it for you even better, perhaps, than what I had done. Okay. And so, you missed this morning? Huh. Okay. Did you ever get the platform downloaded? All right. I got to get on with the show. Okay. So, here we are. It is Wednesday. Hard to imagine midpoint of the week. It seems like, we won't go on and on about how quickly time passes us these days. If you're new to this radio program, welcome. We're sure glad to have you with us. If you're here for the first time, a double welcome to you. If you are not able to see my charts, if you only hear the sound of my voice and you would like to see the charts and participate in the discussion, go to cfrn.net. On the right-hand side of the page, click the great big microphone. That will take you to a page with some instructions. Follow them, and then you'll be registered. And every day for the rest of the month, you'll be able to see the charts and participate in the discussion. We really like it when you participate, when you take part, when you get involved, when you ask questions. This is a rare opportunity where you are able to ask people who actually trade for a living questions about the market, about trading, about different markets, even equities. People who do this for a living are on this radio program, our panel of experts here to answer your questions. Once you're registered, you're good for the entire month. Everyone has to register once a month. We'll all register again August 1st, but get registered today. You're good for the entire month. In fact, you'll get an email each day that says, radio show starts at noon. Click here when you're ready to join the show. So each day, through your email, you have one-click access. All right, we're going to go to our good word for the day. After that, we'll take a quick look at this chart I have up in front of me. After that, we're going to scan a couple of headlines, but I think we're going to save talking about most of them until Robin and David come on the show a little bit later. And that is what we do after the daily recap. We talk to David Williams from PageTrader.com and Ms. Robin Dane, the trading coach, We do have a recap today. The video went very smoothly yesterday. Michael is vacationing at the Cape, but he's still in the live trading room trading every morning, and we're then making a video recap. So our recap is running one day behind, and we're in the process of getting the recaps on the website caught up. After tomorrow, they should be caught up. We did get the – we also have gotten the live trading room video page caught up. That page is really important because each partner is able to spend 2 hours every day in the live trading room. But there's days you miss. Things come up. You get sick. You got to go to the dentist. You take a vacation. Since February, we have been recording both audio and video of every live trading room. It's about 250 hours of live trading, actually putting on, taking off trades with real money, in real time, in front of real people. As a partner, you have access to all 250 hours of those videos, and guess what? We're continuing to build that library. We're adding 2 hours every single day. For those of you who have a day job, you're never going to hear us encourage you to quit your day job. But the good news is you can learn how to day trade and keep your day job. Now, at some point, you may choose to walk away from the day job, but that's never going to be because we encouraged you to do that. It's going to be because you, I guess, are making more money with your trading than you are with your job. But I'm still going to caution you to think about your benefits, your retirement, your 401ks, you know, weigh all the options. Talk with a professional. Sit with your CPA, your priest, somebody who can give you sound advice. Don't just go cutting the ties too quick. And if you are someone who owns your own business, don't go selling that business too quickly. Okay? Maybe you do want to trade for a living. That's fine. Perhaps you could hire someone to run that business for you, because just in case the trading thing doesn't work out, hey, you've got something to go back to. Give that some thought, okay? All right. Let's go to our good word for the day. Today it comes from 1 King 3:9. And it says, "So give your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, to discern between good and evil." And the question today is, would you wish for wisdom? Again, 1 King 3:9. As kids, we all played a game asking the question, if you could make one wish, what would it be? Well, I would sit quietly while others said things like lots of money, a big house, motorcycle, and my wish would always be, I want unlimited wishes. That's how I spent my one wish. I felt so smart because of that choice. Now that I'm older and hopefully a little wiser, it simply revealed incredible selfishness. Years ago, God said to Israel's young King Solomon, "Ask whatever you wish, whatever you want from me, ask." Pretty incredible offer when it's God doing the offering, right? Well, Solomon chose wisdom to lead and discernment between good and evil. That's what he asked God for. He didn't ask for another palace or any of that. He simply said, "God, give me some wisdom to lead my people, your people, and help me to discern between good and evil." Now, needless to say, God was very pleased, knowing that he could have asked for wealth or a long life or any of a number of other things. So God granted his wish. He also, as a little bonus, gave him wealth and a long life. Asking God for wisdom is a wise request indeed. For so often, with wisdom comes great success and the respect of others. The world is drawn to people who are wise. Remember this. God and His Word are the best sources of wisdom that you'll find anywhere. And that's our good word for the day. Let's go to the chart. S&P 500 E-mini futures. The markets have been a little volatile today, considering Bernanke's testifying and all the world's trying to figure out what's really going on. Are they? Are they not? Do they know? We still don't know. Let's look at what the chart tells us. If we go back to Sunday night, July 14th, we had a tweet that said, consider being long above 1671. Made the initial move, gave us 3.75 points, had a pullback, and then we ran 6.75 points, and we have topped out for the week at last week's highest weekly trading zone. That is 1678/79. The other zones that you see on the chart, those are from this week. But I've kept last week's highest zone up there because, number one, we weren't able to get to it last week. And number two, obviously, it's been our high point of the week. Now, we had a double top coming into today. And now with today's action and Bernanke testifying, we can see that we have spiked this weekly trading zone at 75.76. That's this week's zone. But over here, we're still dealing with that really important area, 1678/79 from last week. Once we got up into that area, price retraced back to 75.76 weekly trading zone. We then put together a little rally. It's got us back up to 79 and change. So from zone up into this area, it's about a 3-point move. And I commented a Sunday night that it looked like we were headed into a week of some low volatility. It has been low volatility. We had this 3-hour move yesterday, and then we had this volatility today based off of Bernanke's testimony. So, I mean, all things considered, the swing low today is 66 and the swing high is up around 80.5. So it's at 14 points. Our average daily range right now, it's down at 11. Okay. Now, we were up around 30. Not too long ago. So the volatility has really, you know, this is a daily chart. This was a 38% retracement we had off the November lows. Gary asks, what do the long tails on the candles tell you? Are you talking about on the hourly chart here? Well, it's showing us that price can't stick. Okay? It's running up and it can't close up above this area. You'll notice on the week, with this weekly trading zone from last week, 78.79, we've had wicks stick up above it on a number of, let's see, 4 hours, but we haven't been able to close above that area. Now, in this context, where you have a nice up move and you've got wicks at the top, like this, that tells you to consider this area as a potential intermediate top or high and to look for lower prices. If you get these type of wicks, let's say you had these same wicks here after this downtrend, okay? That would be signaling higher prices. These wicks sticking out on the bottom here also tell us to look for higher prices. We'll get to these in just a minute. So hopefully that answers your question there, Gary. And so price, this is the little dance here from this zone at 75.76 up to this area, 78.79. And then we get the sell-off 3 hours yesterday. It took us down to the weekly zone at 70.71. Okay. And that is, again, the area that we had tweeted Sunday night to be long above 71. So we're back down testing this area. Now, because the ranges are so constricted this week, the weekly trading zones, I would typically give this tweet a number of about 73. Because the ranges are so close together, I went ahead and went with 72. See, that's only 1 point above 71. I like to have a little room in there, a little cushion. You hear me talk about that. So we sent out a tweet yesterday. Once price got back down into this area, we said you could consider being short below 65 or long above 72, you know, whichever presents first. And we had a number of attempts to get back up through 72. But nothing stuck until this morning. We finally got a move above 72 that took us back up into that area, 78, 79, and then pulled right back into this weekly zone at 75, 76. We've got about 30 minutes left in the life of this candle. If this candle closes back below 75, 76, we'll be looking for lower prices as we go into the close. If something different happens, we'll take a look at it here once this hour is over. We'll see what that looks like. We would need to get back below the swing low of this candle to do anything short, but then we're running right into 72, right into 70, 71, which are areas for support. This has become so congested. The week started out with a congested look, and the way the market has traded so far has only made it worse. So I don't know that we'll have another tweet in this area. I don't know that I'll attempt one until we either break out above 81, this is on the S&P, or we get down below 65. In this area here, it's just become a mess. Now, if we look left, we had a tweet area last week that was very good to us, 1668. We had a 3.75-point swing, 4.75-point swing, 4.75-point swing, and a 6.25-point swing. Each time, price coming back to test that important area and then putting in another swing. Back to test, swing. Back to test, swing. Okay? That's a concept. If you've been around this radio show for any length of time, this is kind of our bread and butter. Once we establish an area, we wait for price to come back and test it. Then it gives us a nice opportunity. Most of these tweets are good for at least two trades, often three, often four. You can just wander back through the public timeline on the Twitter feed, and you'll see it played out over and over and over. Weeks, months, it's actually a couple of years now. Okay, so if we were to take this area right here, the 1668, this quote-unquote important price slash area, and we were to draw, just extend that trend line all the way on over. Now remember, that was a really important area last week. We just keep drawing it. Keep going. Look what we got. Where did price come down and stop this week? And then on the bounce, where did it come back to? See how these things just layer on top of each other over and over? Well, how long will 68 be important, you ask? Until it isn't, until price stops bouncing off of it, and until it fails to hold as support, or price runs away from it. But let's say price runs away to the upside. We get above 81, and we're just tearing it up to the upside. 3 months from now, if we come back down into this area, will 68 be important? Yep, it will. It may not be as important then as it is today, but it'll still have a level of importance. This is why you want to learn to read your chart. Everybody, well, I don't know about everybody. Some people just want to make trades or let me rephrase it. A lot of people just want to make some money. Not everybody wants to learn how to trade. But if you take that subgroup of people who actually do want to learn how to trade, not just follow a guru or get some signals in a trade calling room, but those who actually want to do the work of learning how to trade, There's a subgroup in there of people who are willing to put in the time and effort to learn how to read a chart. Got to learn to read the chart before you can learn how to trade. At least that's my opinion. Now, you may know of some shortcut that allows you to trade without being able to read the chart. Maybe you just read some indicators. And if that works, then by all means. For me, I tried every possible combination of chat room, guru, indicator, whatever. But I didn't find clarity, true clarity, until I was able to decipher the chart. I don't mean decipher the indicators or read the indicators. I mean decipher the price action in the chart itself, areas of support and resistance in the chart. That's what made a difference for me. So I don't know where you're at on your journey up Trader Mountain, but stop and assess where you're at, how long you've been on the journey, and ask yourself if you need to do something different. Maybe you want to pop into that class this afternoon at 4:30 Eastern. If you got a few questions, I'll be happy to answer them for you. Okay. All right, let's look real quick at the soybeans. Let's go to the hourly chart. We had a tweet to be long above 1278. We had an initial swing of 9 points. Now, we went down to the slingshot four-tick range chart yesterday to show how you could get an entry in this swing and only have to risk 8 ticks. And I wrote about it last night on the blog and on the Facebook page, so you can go check that out. We then come back to test the important area again. Now, I'm talking about an entirely different market. This isn't the S&P now. This is soybeans, but that same thing holds true. We come back to test the important price or area. We get a 10-point swing. Again, if you go to the slingshot, you'll find a beautiful little layup that puts you into this trade. Okay? And then, now that's once, twice, three times a lady. Let's see. 1278. You draw a straight line here. There we go. Price comes back, tests it again. We put in a swing high up at 1288. So what do we got there? Another dime, 10 cents. Well, how much is 10 cents? Well, 10 cents is equivalent to 10 points in the S&P 500 E-mini futures. And last but not least, we'll peek at the bond chart. Okay, we had our very, and I'll talk more about this later in the show, we had our very first bond trade today. I'm going to walk you through exactly everything was the way we laid it out. Okay, sometimes your plans just come together. Isn't that great? I'll show you where our entry was. The entry was to be long above 134.18, I believe that was it. I'm sorry, 135.18. We took it off at 135.25. There was a recommendation to take it off. It went all the way to 135.28. So there was actually a dime in there, 10 ticks. 10 ticks would be the proper terminology. And on the pullback, I said, if you haven't taken your profits yet, consider it. We knew the area that we wanted to get out was right there, that little dotted line. And I'll explain what that line is and why it was important and why we thought getting long here once we broke out of the channel, why that would be the target to go to. And that's what it did. It traded right to that target. Okay. So now we'll record that. Get ready for the next one. So, I mean, we've got at least a year's worth of trading ahead of us on this chart. And that's if bonds continue higher. If they go lower, who knows? But I mean, just what we've got mapped out here is probably good for a year. Keep us busy for a while. I don't know, 6 months. So I'll get into this a little more, possibly in the after show or on the blog tonight. We'll talk about it. We'll talk about the prices. I want to get into the recap real quick. I don't know what the quality of our recording is going to be like today, but we're about to find out. This will be the recap from yesterday, so stand by. I got to switch out these screens. Hang on. I guess I must have forgot to do that earlier.
Maybe get a live trade. All right. Good morning, everyone. Today is Wednesday, the 17th day of July 2013. I am going to do a recap for yesterday, July 16th. let's see the results yesterday. I'll bring up my spreadsheet and show you the results for yesterday. We were minus 5 on the Russell. We were plus 6 on crude, plus 16 on gold, minus 8 on copper. Currently, we are at plus $2,600 for the month of July. All right, that was 11 days, I believe. We're at $2,600. Yesterday, it took us 14 minutes and 2 trades to get to our $100 contract daily goal. And we had 16 trades overall yesterday. Currently, we are $1,608 per contract net if you use an $8 round term commission for everything. Okay. If you have not taken a free trial with us, go to www.cfrn.net/apply and sign up for the free trial. In the free trial, you get access to everything that you see here, including our charting package, all of our indicators, everything that you see here. You get to sit in our live trading room for 5 business days. You get to watch us put trades on, take trades off, win trades, lose trades, the whole thing. Let's see. That's it. After the 5 days, you have to make a decision. Now, let's see with crude oil. I'm going to start right out with crude oil when I do the recap. All right. On crude yesterday, let's go back to where we traded yesterday. Here we go. Made quite a few trades on crude yesterday. Our first trade was right here. We were looking for the down close below the trend line. We got short right there. I took some profit. Our next trade was over here. We were looking for the up close above the trend line with the bullish divergence. Over here was bearish divergence. When I say divergence, what I mean is the green line is coming away from the cycle. Okay, so we took a little bit of profit from the up close above the trend line over here. Our next trade was right in here. I think we took one tick profit on that. Then we lost a trade. Over here, we got long on the up close above the trend line over here, and we lost that one. Now, as it moved over here, the divergence was all the wrong way. So right in here, there was an opportunity when the divergence was the right way and price was going the right way. We missed that one. We tried to grab it right here. It gave us 4 ticks profit. We moved our stop to break even and got stopped out of break even. Over here, we consolidated a little bit, broke out of that box that I drew, and moved down. We missed that trade. Over here, we consolidated a little bit, broke out of the box that I drew, and it moved up. We got a little bit of profit out of that. And over here, we got another break even trade. We missed this trade, and this trade. And that was the end of crude oil for the morning session. There were some more trades in there that were pretty nice. I mean, if you look at this one, you can see it pulled down to the BBC perfectly, and it moved up off it. Here, if I bring this picture over and I show you the picture, these are the actual rules for the whole thing. This is for when it's bouncing off the BBC. This is for when it doesn't hit the BBC or the cycle is the wrong color. But over here, you'll see you got your bullish cross is step 1. Step 2 is it pulls back down to test the BBC. Step 3 is it gives an up close, okay, and closes up for a long trade. Then you look down here to see if you have a divergence. If you have a divergence and the cycle is the right color off the BBC, exactly as it did right here, or right over here, either one of those works. Your entry is the up close. Okay, the up close off the BBC. Right. That's it. That was it for crude oil for yesterday. All right. We're gonna move on to the next market. Now that was for July 16th. Okay. We don't have any trades today for crude yet. There's a long trade right here on gold, but gold is really jumpy based on the bad data that just came out. Let's see, copper. Right now, copper's got nothing, though. We don't have any divergence. Okay, Jeanette. There's no divergence here to take the trade. Normally, if you had divergence here, you could have gotten long right there on the copper. Okay, if we watch the crude oil here, you see we just put a lower swing in. We could have a pullback up to give us some divergence for a long trade. Over here on the gold, there was a long trade back here on the gold and a long trade right in here on the gold. Okay, but let's go over the gold for yesterday. All right, that was the one trade we took this morning so far. This is the 17th. That's today. Let's go all the way back here to yesterday. All right, after the open, right in here. I'm not sure why. Okay, I was drawing a head and shoulders pattern in there. In here, there was a long trade right in here that went, four ticks would have been a break even. It changed directions, and there was a short trade right in here that went about 8 ticks. That one went 4 ticks, would have been a break even. This one went about 8 ticks. It changed directions for a moment here, but it didn't commit to it. It started going down again. There was another short trade right here. Down close off the BVC. Alright, all the stuff that I just showed you a few minutes ago. It changed directions again, and we got long right in here. It took a little profit. There was another opportunity here that we missed. I'm sure there was probably another one in here that we missed. No, we lost our divergence on that. Then the divergence was backwards all through here. Then we finally got the right divergence, but we didn't have a setup. Then it changed directions again. We had a tiny bit of divergence. I took a short trade in here and a short trade in here with profit on both. You see down here at the bottom, on the first one, we had just a tiny bit of divergence right there. Tiny bit of divergence right there. Okay. Over here, I've taken another short trade. This was on the down close below the trend line because the cycle was the wrong color. Okay. The cycle was the wrong color, so I had to do that. I had to wait for the down close below the trend line. I took a short and ended up getting a break even on it, I believe. Alright, let's see. Over here we pulled back up to test the BBC, but it didn't make it all the way up. If you get into this short trade, it looks like you would have stopped out right there. And that was the end of the morning session. There was this big move down right here. Now, yesterday one of you guys, or somebody yesterday, had asked how to capture this. I think that was in the live trading room yesterday, or in the normal live trading room yesterday. Someone had asked how to capture this. With our normal stuff, there was no divergence until down here. Okay? There's no divergence until down here, so you could have captured this last leg of it right here. There are other things that we've talked about in the partners meetings. We're right in here. You might have been able to jump in. But as it was, it changed directions. I came over here. There was barely an opportunity right here for a long trade. Oh, sorry. We're outside of the morning session. All right. That was gold for yesterday. Let me slide gold. Actually, I'm going to keep gold on because it's trading pretty actively right now. Now I'm going to slide gold off because I don't want to be tempted to buy it right now. Crude oil right here, though, guys, a down close on this bar on crude would be a short trade right now. It's got a high of 105.69. It'll have a low of 105.65.
Okay, we're going to pause the recap right there. I'm going to finish it up shortly. All right, the end of the show. But right now I want to go talk to my buddy Mike Reed. He's here hanging out, and I know his time is short. So we're going to just pop over there and say howdy. Mike, welcome to the show.
Hi, Dwayne. Can you hear me?
How are you?
Yes, good.
Sir. I can hear you just fine. I sure
okay.
can. So what's going on?
Well, we have back and forth action today.
Yeah.
And they're close to, they had spent very little time above 1678.5.
Right.
They were number, they left a tail up there, and they pop up to 80.5, but 1680.5. So if they can hold above that, they could make another, the next level for me, I had the 82 to 83 area above, and that would, let's see here. I should coincide with the, all-time intraday high. It was made back on, May 22nd?
Yeah, let's take a peek. I've got that right here.
It was, 1687. 0.18.
Yeah, we'll blow it up a little bit here. Here we go. It's right here. May 22nd.
Yeah.
And the high was 1685.75. You're right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we've had
close.
3 days. 3 days here we've been, you know. We've
right.
got... Yeah. Now, let's talk about that for a minute, Mike. This little pattern that's sitting up here with this 3 days in a row. Not being able to break above this high or take this out. How long before you start to think maybe we're not gonna take it out? This little shelf, is there anything significant with that? For you?
Yeah, I think the more times that they, if they poke at it, that they have a chance to go through that. But I don't know. I don't know if they're gonna stick. You look at all the green bars off the run. It's just 2 days. 2 days where they took a rest. I think the and the Nasdaq's up like 15 out of 16 days. I don't think it had off the low. I'm not sure if it had even one down day. I think it was up every single day. If I'm correct. So that's, you know.
The Nasdaq, here, let's take a look.
Nasdaq 100. Yeah. The NQs.
Let me switch this to a daily chart. Okay, so there's daily on the NQ.
Yeah.
Is this what you're looking for? Now, this is a Globex. This is a Globex chart. You may be looking at a day session. This is Globex.
Yeah, still all green. All green.
Yeah, we got, with the exception of, I got one red candle here, going all the way back to June 25th.
Okay.
And that red candle came in on June 28th.
Okay, a little tiny
so that's
little red.
One,
candle.
Two, three, four, five, six, seven. And those are wash.
Yeah,
eight,
the
nine,
close, the closer was 12, above the previous 16. Days.
Yeah.
That was a red candle, but they still closed the day higher than they did the previous day. So they haven't even had a down close. I don't believe. I could be wrong, but I think they've been up just about every single day. That's quite a run.
That is.
And you know, really I is. Just they they stretch it out too much, it begins to, there you go, look back at the, something similar to that last leg up, and then it gets a bit too, almost, parabolic looking,
mm-hmm.
and it tends to lead to a pretty good shakeout, so.
I mean, if you look at this swing low back in swing low right here, January of this year. January. Yeah. Oh, December 31st would be this day here, where we put in this low. If I draw fibs up here, from the low to the high, and then we're able to see this after the fact, but I'm talking about the current high. When we draw the fibs, look, that pullback that we had June 24th, look where that thing is. Mm-hmm. It's a 50% retracement of this. Now, I don't want to confuse people, but we didn't have that part of the equation to work with when this pullback was made. This pullback was a whole different animal at that point in time. It was actually, we should be using that low anyway.
Yeah, you'll find that happens quite a bit, Dwayne.
That's that geometry that's inherent in the market or built into the market that is absolutely fascinating. And once a person stumbles onto that, you can't ever pretend it doesn't exist or, write it off. I mean, it is.
Yeah.
It's a part of the markets.
Yeah.
Let me get...
I agree. That's the one thing from Elliott Wave was... when I started out, I had on my broker send me Prechter's Elliott Wave forecasts or whatnot.
Which I think it always said the same thing, we're going to heck in a handcart or something like
well,
that.
Well, this was back when he was hot. This was back this was before the crash, the 87 crash even. But Fibonacci was big, big in Elliott Wave.
Mm-hmm.
And it was my first... experience with it. I had never heard of such a thing.
Right.
I think I got a math book from school about Fibonacci numbers in the sequence, and it made sense. But now you can go on the internet and find out everything you want to know. But yeah, a lot of it's in nature. But that's where I found, started using some of the Fibonacci numbers. Don't use them all the time, but like you did here, this is a good a good reason to keep an eye on them. Like you got there, it's a pretty good area, and all coincides with what we're at here. So
I mean, if we peeled back a 38% retracement here, back down to this 2880 level, number one from this. Huge move from November of 2012 to today. If we were to get a 38% retracement of that move, it would also just so happen to be a double bottom with this area right here. And so having that kind of information, price is selling off, maybe it's coming off hard, and you're thinking, man, this could be the end of the world, when in fact, what's happening is you're about to get potentially, the buying opportunity of a lifetime right here, because you've got two things to support buying activity coming in here. One, the 38% retracement. Two, this previous swing low on a daily chart. And the more things you can bring together to highlight that. I just wanted to say last night, I was thinking about you. And I pulled out some of the material that you had sent me a long time ago. And I popped in one of the DVDs and I was listening to it. And the question I want to ask you, how long has it been since you added something new to your trading style? I don't want to make
really,
that like too deep of a question, because
it's been a long time, Dwayne. And I, it's the support and resistance, basically, in the way that the market makes its transitions and build theory is.
That's kind of what I thought you were going to say, because you found a fundamental way to read the chart, and then based upon the information you discern from reading the chart, you then trade the market. What was amazing to me is I remember the very first time I watched that particular DVD, I kind of understood what you were talking about. I was in the process of learning. I remember that I was trying to read more into it than what you were saying. You only had like two little indicators on your chart, and I remember clearly watching that, and I remember how I wanted to attach this kind of magic to that indicator. Oh, if it just touches there, then when in fact last night I watched it, not only did it not sound like a foreign language, last night when I watched it, it was a completely unique experience. I don't know what's happened to me in the time between when I first watched it, you know, some years ago, and last night. Apparently, I've learned a few things from you and from the markets, because last night I actually got it. It made perfect sense, and I realized that there was no magic in any of those two little lines that were on the chart. That it all had to do with what was happening with price and the bigger picture backdrop behind what was happening. And so that was really a nice experience for me to kind of come full circle around the mountain. And I ran right into myself, and it was like I could actually look myself in the eye and go, I get it. Now I get it. And so, I mean, I don't want to discourage people and make them think it's going to take them a couple of years to go around the mountain and to come back to meet themselves and to say they got it. I would like to think that we can offer something that will help that process come together a little bit quicker. But there is, no, as far as I know, there's no replacement for time. Is that right, Mike?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, when I started out, I was the ticker tape and the prices coming across the screen, and I would trade, actually get a feel for the ups and downs and back and forths, and I don't know what it was inside me. Sometimes, more than anything, it would be the price action on my charts, but in the gut feel from the ticker tape, and that's. I mean, I can remember when we got internet, and I was on a short vacation, and I had the CNBC. Couldn't get away from the market. I was overwatching and watching a ticker tape, and that was a friend of mine, and I told him, I said, "Look, this market's ready to go down, from here," and. Sure enough, it wasn't more than about 5 or 10 minutes. He's like, "How'd you know that?" And we were in a casino. He's like, "You should have been betting on that." And I go, "Well, in a way, I do."
So right.
He knew, but that came back just from like, I don't know, flashback. I'm like, geez, I've seen this before. I've seen this price action before. But that's from a lot of time, a lot of time in front of the screen. Not that you have to sit there, all day and watch every tick, but for me, I kind of one of them guys who just like, you know, my other buddies are at work and this is my work, and 9 to 5, so, you know, I put in the whole day doing market stuff, price action, and yeah, this really, it hasn't changed. I haven't really changed a whole lot in doing it. Unless something drastically changes in the markets to change human nature.
When I met you in 2006, you had a way of talking and a way of explaining things, but it was a foreign language to me then, because I didn't have the experience, I guess, or the screen time, or whatever it might be. And so I was, and we do that in life. We have all these filters, and we're always trying to hear what we want to hear and see what we want to see. if we could just learn to be mindful and understand what really is in front of us, not what we want to be, I think that might be a shortcut through the mountain instead of around it. Because to the best of my knowledge, I haven't seen since 06, I've not seen you change anything or say anything any differently. I've seen a lot of stuff come and go and people come and go. But that underlying, you know, thing, which is price, and people hear me talk about it all the time, and I'm always reminded of what I learned from you. And if I could have just taken the basic concepts of support and resistance back then and put that to work as I'm trying to teach people to do now, that's every time I go into a class, whether it's a partners meeting or if it's the after show or whenever I'm, you know, with someone who's requested some time or some teaching, then that's really all I'm doing is I'm trying to point out the obvious, okay? And I think that's kind of what you were trying to do, to point out the obvious. But I couldn't see the obvious because I wanted to find the magical, see?
Well, I guess eventually you kind of did. So,
I finally heard, you know, or I always heard what you were saying, but I finally understood. And so it's good. And so I just, you know, I appreciate that. And I'm doing my very best to keep that true. You know, I want to keep what you taught me. I want to keep that true. And if there's any way that I don't know that I can ever make it any better, but I'm working very hard in my teaching to take what you taught me and to simply amplify it, perhaps might be a word, I don't know, or to clarify it, to maybe explain it in a way that makes it so obvious. And I'm constantly pounding the table about not chasing the mystical and the magical. In fact, you know, every day when I do the after show, I'm like, guys, this portion of our programming is about demystifying the market.
Okay? Yeah.
The only secret is there's no secret.
Yeah.
Okay? Right?
Yeah.
Tell them, Mike. Tell them that the only secret is there's no secret.
The only secret is there is no secret, guys. Roll up your sleeves and get ready. It's like, you don't just walk in and become a trader, right? So, yeah, don't be looking for that holy grail. There's no such thing. And don't let the guys that are telling you that they have it, don't buy it. Don't.
Because if they had
run,
it, they
don't walk.
If they had it, they wouldn't give it to you.
No. At a printing press, I wouldn't give it to.
Yeah. Right.
Hand it away, so.
Hey, I know you got to take off in a few minutes, but let me bring the rest of the gang on board so they can say
great.
Hi to you, okay?
Okay.
There it is right
all
there.
Right,
I just shorted crude at 105.65 short on crude.
All right, guys, we're going to head out to Las Vegas, Nevada, talk to David Williams from PageTrader.com.
It's already closed down below the MA1, so I'm going to be very quick with my risk. What I anticipate happening here is a green line moving down.
Turn that off.
Hi, Michael.
There we go. Nope, that was just a recording. Yeah.
I know.
Okay. Very lifelike. It got
yes.
You? Okay. All right.
You're listening to CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living. To learn more about who we are, what we do, and how we do it, call toll-free 1-866-928-3310, and we'll send you out a no-obligation information kit absolutely free. 866-928-3310.
Good morning, Dwayne.
David, good morning. Welcome to the show. Robin, good morning to you as well.
And good morning, everybody. It's a fabulous day here in Las Vegas, and so good to hear Mike Reed on there.
Hello, Robin, David.
I could listen to your voice all day long, Mike.
I don't know. I might put you to sleep.
So how are you doing?
Oh, great. Never better. How are you?
Excellent. Excellent. Doing real good on this end.
No, thank you very much. You did good. Hey, Robin, how are you?
It's a great day here. I'm doing fabulous.
Well, it is a great day here. Do you know what the temperatures are going to be today?
No.
Well, a person that lives in Death Valley needs to know that information, don't they? Today only is going to be 102, so it's actually a very reasonable temperature for today. And so, hey, Michael, and how are you?
I'm fine. I'm just amazed that you guys are your temperatures. I'm like,
well, look at any Mike, any number that goes up and down, I'm interested in.
Yeah. But I mean, it's 102. It's going to be really nice here today.
Yeah, 102 is very mild.
Well, you know, it's dry heat. You know, it's the old dry heat.
Oh, man, now you put me in a pressure cooker. You put 102 degrees here in Indiana with the humidity, and lordy.
Too intense.
It's happened. Yeah, it's happened, but everybody's indoors and running them ACs as fast as they can go.
So, Mike,
well, how's your?
What do you think of these? What do you think of Bernanke out there?
Oh, I don't know what to think of him. I think he's. I wish we had Volcker, Greenspan. I don't like the new this. I know the transparency and all that's a good thing, and maybe being hidden behind closed doors and stuff was not so good, but sure made it better for trading.
We are starting to see the really common look of summertime trading in the S&P now. This is that look.
Yeah.
The quiet, slow, you know, the dead zone is really the dead zone. I mean, there's mortuaries that have more activity.
Well, the average true range is now down. We were remarking just a few days ago, it was up at 27, 28. Now it's down to 11.3.
Mm-hmm. It's going to get down to lower than that by the time they're done here.
Historically?
No, I mean just as we continue, since that's an average, that average will, I think, is going to go lower.
I agree.
Yeah.
Let's see what it was this time last year. Let's go back to...
My guess is it'll get down to 8 or 7.
That's what I was saying, 8, around 8.
Okay, well, now here you go. August 3rd of last year, it was at 25. That's unusual. I don't know, maybe it's not unusual.
No, that's high. That is high.
17.9. I don't recall us having an unusually active summer last year, but look at this thing. Well, okay, now here's 13. No, 19. 26. This. Okay, now there it dips down to 11 in August. But it looks like through June and July of last year, we actually had a pretty good range. Do you recall this, Mike? I know you got a really good memory for this type of thing.
I'm going to look at my spreadsheet real quick. June and July of 12?
Mm-hmm, 2012. And then in August, it really tapered off and got down to like...
We had some big ranges, didn't they? Let's see. Until... Honestly, I have a 10 and a 20 on my chart, but we had, they were pretty big, in the 20s, and then, let's see, around,
August, it really dried up.
Oh, in August, yeah. And May 31st was a low area, and then it picked up, and then coming down in July and August. Let's see. In June, the ranges were like 11.25, 13, 14.5, 11.25, 17.
Now, are you looking at day session only, Mike?
Yeah, day session range.
Now, see, guys, right there. Now, that's really something to make note of. Mike's quoting numbers that are day session only, 11, 12, 13, and my chart is reflecting the Globex session, and it's showing numbers of like 24 and 23. And I think if you go back to last summer and look at some of the articles that I wrote and some of the blog posts, I talked about how much activity we were seeing on the overnight sessions, and that it almost seemed as if the European markets were now, you know, driving the world's economy more so than Wall Street, because Wall Street would just quiet down and we wouldn't get much action. But then the Asian session and the European session would open, and we would get, well, you can see it right here, 24. Okay.
Yeah, beginning of July last year was kind of volatile. The first 2 weeks had some big ranges, and then it looked like it kind of settled down. Looking at the numbers, you know, in my spreadsheet. So
I've never looked at the average true range on a weekly. I have no idea what that looks like. I don't even think my chart will go back that far. So just get out of that. Okay. Well, Mike, I don't want to hold you any longer than you can stay. We'd love for you to stay as long as you can.
Yeah, I
know you don't. You're a gentleman. You don't like to be rude. You don't like to just take off without saying goodbye. So let me make it comfortable for you to say goodbye.
Okay, guys.
Bye, Mike. Have a great day.
You guys too. Have a good
day.
Nice
to talk with you, Mike.
I'll catch you guys later this week or next week. So.
Okay. Yeah. Pop in tomorrow, Friday, if you can.
Okay.
All right,
guys. Take care. Thanks.
Bye bye.
All right.
Now, Pete points out, don't forget how low interest rates were. A lot of cheap money last summer. That's true.
Oh, yeah. It still is cheap. It's just not as cheap.
Yeah.
So we've had a little bit of a rally off of these lows. We'll talk about the bond market in just a little bit here.
Yeah, we had our first tweet and first trade last night on the bonds, and it went well. So, yay.
Good. So, Robin, anything to update on your end?
Robin,
Didn't you want to say you had a story to tell us, right?
Do you want me to do my story?
Sure,
right now?
Go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah, sure.
Well, you know, as you know, I've been wrestling with the banks for close to 5 years now on my house, and I have been going back and forth about, you know, what to do with it. Do I short sell it and get out and start all over again? I'm underwater 100%, literally 100% underwater. So would the house come back all the way? Probably not all the way in, maybe not in my lifetime, or maybe it would, but it would take a long time. So what I did was initially I said, I'll let them just rewrite the mortgage, and they were willing to give me something like a 2% interest rate, which is phenomenal, for 40 years with a balloon at the end, interest only. So I said, well, I don't care. I'm not going to live that 40 years. You know, I don't think I'll live to be 100 and something. It's never been in my family. So I said, well, who cares? Let them just take the house, because I don't have kids to leave it to, and my brother's totally on his own. So, you know, that was a potential. But then I said, you know, as I started to look at, you know, the consequence, and I think this is probably the most important thing that you have to look at if you're in this situation, is to, number one, what are the consequences of your decisions? So I started to go through and say, you know, what are the consequences of this decision if I stay in the house? Well, I'm going to have to put money into the house. You know, things are going to going to break, and I really don't own it technically. I'm just paying the bank, and it really is like paying rent. But, you know, the bank technically owns it, even though you say you own your house. And then I said, you know, I'll never really own it outright, and I wouldn't be able to at that stage, and I'd be putting money into it. And so when I looked at the downside, I don't have any flexibility, and if I had to move at a later date, you know, I'd be paying taxes. If I had to short sell the house again, I'd be paying taxes on the money, or I might even not even be able to short sell, and I'd have to, you know, have that money, that outlay of money. So I said, it really doesn't make financial sense for me to stay in this house, even though emotionally I'm attached to it. So I said, you know, I have to let go of my emotions. I'm the emotional coach, so I've got to really manage my own emotions. And, you know, what's the right business decision and financially? And I said, really, the decision is that I have to short sell the house, get out from under this, rent for a year or two, and then buy another house again with the rates still being low. Because I don't think they're going to be rushing up, even though it's at 4% now. I think there's going to be another glut in the market. So within this whole experience, the other thing that I did was leverage all of the free resources that were available to me. And I, you know, every time I think I've leveraged every free resource possible, I find another one, and I have another one to call today, you know, just to do a sanity check. And there's a lot of resources around. So when you get these different opinions, you start to form, you know, an opinion on what's real and what's not real, or what's fluff, or what's, you know, what you can really get around. And in Nevada right now, they have a thing called Home Again. And Home Again, I thought initially, was one organization that helped people through this modification process, and they evaluate all your financials, and they take a look at everything, and then they make suggestions, and it's all for free. And this is new as of June 1st here in Las Vegas. So I took advantage of that, and then I passed that on to somebody, and she said, oh, they made me do all this stuff, all this things they didn't ask you. And I said, are you sure you called the right number? And so, you know, we started checking, because I have another person, a friend of mine's in the same boat. Well, come to find out that Home Again is like a overall umbrella to any of the companies within Las Vegas that help with modifications. So when you call the Home Again number, you could get ported or passed through to any number of different companies. So she had gotten passed through to a different company than I got, which is why their requirement was different from what the company I was working with asked of me. So that's when I figured out that there's all these different ones. Well, then I went to a second one, second company that was a Home Again one. And again, at each time, I found out a little bit more information, or found out a piece of information I didn't know. And, you know, if you've done any kind of work with me, or you've done any kind of coaching with me, or you've gone to any of the coaches' corners, which are every Friday at 3 o'clock Eastern time, you'll know that at one point I talked about things that you know. You know, there's three parts of the pie here. Things that you know. And things that I know. I know if I turn the handle on my door, I know the door is going to open. Those are things I know. And then there's a group of things that I know I don't know. I know if my car breaks down in a certain way, I probably can't fix it. So those are things I know I don't know. But then there's this whole other piece of the pie that I call it, which is much larger, of things I don't know that I don't know. And so when you go into this particular process, you're in that realm. You don't even know the question to ask, because you've never been there before. You don't know what you're going to experience. You don't know what's going to come out of it. And so you have to ask a lot of questions when you're in that area, because you don't know. You just don't have any clue. You know, I mean, I've never, you know, been in a situation before, so I really don't know what to ask. So the more people that you can speak to, the better you can get a picture of what's happening. So I'm in the process of short selling my home, getting out. The plan is to get out from under the mortgage and get that all off my credit, because, again, that would have screwed up my credit. Get that off my credit. My credit is impeccable other than that, and then rent for 1 or 2 years, and then buy a new home, and buy, you know, something that I want and something that I like as much as I like the one I'm in now. So it's just a very interesting process, and you need to work with your realtor. And, you know, we've always had, you know, Rob on the show. Rob happens to be working with me on the house. He's fabulous. and he's got a lot of information. And, you know, getting somebody that's knowledgeable, that has done the process many, many times, gives you that edge of learning the things that you don't know you don't know. And so it's very important to get somebody that's very experienced in the way you intend to do your modification if you're going to go that route. But the essence of this whole thing, Duane and David, was really an emotional decision versus a financial decision, and to be smart. And it financially, it did not make any sense for me to stay. And emotionally, I'm over it. I'm over it. I decided that I love my house. I think the greatest reward that I had was my open house where people came through. Now, understand, when people are doing short sales, they don't really care about their house, and they trash it, or they, you know, they take everything out of it. I don't know what they do to it, but I had so many people come through and say that the house was fabulous. It was gorgeous, and that it was the best house they had seen in 3 months. I mean, I got comment after comment after comment of how gorgeous my house was. And while on one hand it was heartbreaking, on another hand, the people that I saw, you know, really liked what I had done, and I know that they would continue to do to the house and finish the house up. To match everything that I had done already, and there's a lot of new things in the house. So they're getting a great deal. I mean, they're getting a really great deal on the house, and I get to move on and check out a neighborhood. And you know, so I put my goals in. I put what was great about the move. And anytime you're in a situation where you feel emotionally that it's upsetting, or it touches your heart in a certain way, you always ask the question, what's great about this? And so I made my list of what's great about this, and there were just so many what's great about thises that I made the decision to move. And it was literally in 24 hours that I had made the decision. Once I knew financially you know, what was going on and what I was into. And, you know, the thing that's heartbreaking is there are 70,000 homeowners in Las Vegas that are in the situation that I'm in. And it's heartbreaking that some of these people, I have a friend of mine that just modified and just redid it and is still underwater $150,000. And I'm like, why are you, you know, you need to look at this. So you need to look at the pros and cons of moving, and you've got to be sure you work through to the consequences, and you've got to look at, you know, why are you holding on to it emotionally, or is it something that makes financial sense? I could end up owning a home flat out within a couple of years versus being stuck in this and just being underwater forever. So it just made the right financial decision, and I hope, you know, I don't usually air all of my personal stuff on the air to how many ever people are listening, but I'm just hoping that some of you out there are listening, or maybe in a situation that it gives you food for thought to really evaluate your situation and make a good financial decision, because it's only stuff. You know, stuff is really not when it comes right down to it, it's not about the stuff. It's about you and your happiness and, you know, creating a life for yourself that's really spectacular. And I just wouldn't be able to do it where I am. I mean, I just would not be able to do all the things that I wanted to do with the freedom or the flexibility that I would leaving. So it didn't make any sense financially, and then also emotionally when I finally came to that conclusion. So if you do have any questions about, you know, if you're in that situation, I am certainly not the expert, but if you have a question or if I can, you know, help you at all to guide you to some help or something, my suggestion would be to look locally, whatever state you're in, look to the local government. I found agencies within the Nevada government where one part didn't know what the other part was doing. I think I remember talking about the fraud, you know, this one company called me up and they said they could get me this great deal if I paid them $2,500 up front and they would guarantee me a 3% mortgage. And, you know, I mean, it was unbelievable. I was like, oh my God, it was like a savior, you know? And so I kept saying, you know, wow, that's a great deal. I'm going to go that route. And then I started to check on that company and I find out that it's a fraud. It was just amazing. And then I called the government to try to report it, and one part of the government said, oh, we don't have anything for that. And I did another search on the internet and find that there's a whole fraud department in Nevada, and the attorney general's office didn't even know it was there to guide me. So you have to dig and dig and dig and dig. And, you know, remember we talk about digging in your trading. It's the same thing when you're digging on a particular problem or a situation that you're working through. It's just a routine and a direction that you may want to consider, you know, whenever you're in any kind of challenge in your life, is to make sure you do your due diligence, do your digging, and get some information from the experts, and then make an intelligent decision about, you know, what it is that you have to go through, and then what's it going to cost you if you don't make that decision, and what will you gain if you do, and look at the consequences. Originally, I just was dealing with the emotion. I said, I'm just going to stay. You know, I love this house. My mom was here. You know, just a big part of her is here. And I just said, no. When I started looking at the list, it was time to let go. So,
yeah.
You know, that happens.
You know what? I'll tell you something. I'm sorry, Duane, if you were going to say something.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, a lot of times, these destabilizing events like losing your home or making the decision to lose it come right along with other good things that you can't see yet. In other words, this is a start of a V bottom, you know, in a market, and then the market starts to rally. And you can't have the rally without the bottom. You have
right.
to have the bottom. And so it definitely is and feels, it looks exactly like what it looks like. It is a bottom. But in so many cases in my life and other people's lives that I've known, I've seen and experienced the same thing where you're, you know, brought to your knees practically in the emotional content of how you feel. And yet upon retrospect later, you look back and say, you know, that really was a huge turning point in my life.
Yep.
For the better. And so I think you have that exact scenario going on in your life. So at the moment, it feels bad, but I can pretty much assure you that it's very likely that you're going to, that this isn't, that this is a bottom that sends you to another whole place, that you will see the whole thing in context, including how your mom and everything else fits and feels. And I went through the same thing with my own mom. So,
well, you know, I mean, just the bottom line, you know, I'm in the business for changing exactly your emotions. A decision is made in a heartbeat. A decision doesn't take days and days and days and days and days with the right information. A decision is in a heartbeat. So I do not feel that this is a bottom. I feel like, you know, I'm redoing the website. I'm redoing the whole business. I'm redoing my stuff. It's just part of the new beginning of, you know, regaining my life. And so from you know, going through the loss of my mom. And so it's okay. It's all okay. And if she was here, she would tell me that this is exactly what I should be doing. Mm-hmm. So I feel very good about it, and I'm actually very energized about it. It's just a pain in the neck to pack
yeah.
everything. But the yeah, good news is just going through everything and, you know, letting go of it, and it's all okay. It's all good. It's all good.
I think you'll find it is. I really do. And I know your house is beautiful.
I feel it already. I mean, I just feel it already. I feel fabulous. I feel, mm-hmm. You know, refreshed and ready to go. I feel excited. You know, there's this point of, and I call it scary excitement. On one hand, you have this little bit of scary going on of the unknown, and then you have this excitement of the possibilities. So I'm at the scary, excited stage, and I feel very good. And I have just fleeting moments of scary, but more on the excitement side. So I feel really good about it. But I, again, want to encourage people that are in this situation to really think about it and put it on paper. I even have my friends that are underwater that just remodified. I have them going to some counselors because they need to look at their options. They're much older. There's no way that they'll pay for that home. It'll come back as much as they think it'll come back. And they're stuck in this mortgage. And I hate the banks. That's the only thing that I bad coming out of this whole thing. I'm not a hate person, but I really hate the banks. I really hate them because they've put these people like myself through years and years and years and years of just emotional drama. And I come to find out in my due diligence that every time they ask you for new paperwork, they get paid another $6,000 from the federal government just to get your paperwork. So every time you go through that process, the bank gets paid $6,000, whether they approve you or not. And I've put paperwork in almost five times now. So they've made the money on me, and that's all they're getting. I'm not giving them another dime. I'm going to get out of the house, and that's going to be it. Dwayne, yeah. Any comments? What do you think? Put everybody in silence.
Yeah, here's my question, Robin. There's a couple of comments from the audience I'll share with you in a second. But I mean, the bottom line is, the home, how long ago did you buy the home?
In 05.
05, okay, so that was kind of the height of the whole
thing. I was right at the peak. In fact, it was so bad in Vegas at that time, people were going to Home Depot and standing next to the area where they had the for sale by owner signs. I swear to God, I saw this. I couldn't believe it. And they would watch the guy with the sign and follow him home and buy the house. It was that bad.
Oh, my goodness.
I had looked for 3 years, and it was getting so bad. The house that I was renting when I first came was a five-bedroom, five-bathroom home, huge mega home, you know, gated community, big cathedral ceilings and the whole blah, blah, blah. And I thought that's the kind of home I wanted to have. I'm glad that I rented because I really don't like that kind of home. And it was on the market when I first arrived in 2001, I believe, or 2000. It was right after 9/11 I moved. And it was on the market for $189,000. So I was like, wow, that's way cheaper than the East Coast. So I was like, oh, okay, I'll just rent. It kept going up and up and up. By the time I left in 05 when I bought, I was looking for 3 years, so I'm going to say 5, 4, 3. So I must have done it in 02. It was on the market now for $389,000. It had gone up $200,000 in 3 years. And at that time I didn't want to afford that. You know, I just didn't want to go that high. And I said, I better buy. These things are going berserk. And I got in the panic with everybody. And so I kept looking and looking and looking for those 3 years. I walked in this house on Super Bowl Sunday. I said, she sent me the paperwork. That night, she faxed it to me. I saw the house. I drove by at night in the dark, and I said, get me in that house tomorrow. I walked into the courtyard of the house, and I said, this is the house. It was just like immediate, and I had to fight for it, and, you know, I finally got it. But, you know, it was just mayhem at the time. I couldn't believe what was going on. And then, of course, then the crash came, and it just was ridiculous. And so the two houses on both sides of me were 435, both of them, five bedrooms, five bathrooms with a pool. Mine was four with a pool, but a one-story. And the two houses next to me, both people walked, and those houses went on the chopping block for $150,000. They were $435,000 homes, and they went for $150,000. And I'm sitting here paying and paying and paying and paying and trying to work with the bank and nothing. So I just, you know, I'm hoping somebody will enjoy it and fix it up and continue doing what I was doing. They only need to do the bathrooms and the kitchen, and they'll enjoy this house completely. And it's a fabulous house. It's just a fabulous, fabulous house.
Yeah, Rob has told me about that home, and he did tell me that it was a very pretty, beautiful backyard. And sometimes, you know, because of the situations in life, this can be considered in some ways like holding on to a bad trade. Sometimes
absolutely. You know. That's exactly what it was, holding on to a bad trade. And I said, I can't in good conscience stay here and have any congruency with the business I'm in. I can't. I mean, I just can't. It is. It's like holding on. It's exactly what it is, holding on to a bad trade. And I said, no, I got to you know, I passed my stop a long time ago. I should have gotten out long ago.
Now, you say you spent years going through this. What was it that you, in a perfect world, how would this have played out? What would have happened?
Well, I mean, you know, if there were regulations in there that would have done something with the principal, or at least have taken, because it was the countrywide mortgage from hell. For me, it was just the rippling effect of how bad the mortgage was originally written, and that was because of my ignorance. You know, you buy a house, maybe I bought, this is my third home, mm-hmm. and, you know, you just don't have a lot of practice in it, and the rules change so much. And so they hand you, you know, you go to a broker where you hope that they give you exactly what was going on. When I start checking the numbers and really doing the digging, like I tell everybody to do, when I did the digging on my numbers on my home, since I've paid, you know, and I'm putting my life out there to you guys. You know, this is, you know, what I'm wrestling with. And again, I'm doing it not because I want to brag about my numbers or brag about what's going on. That's not my intention. I'm just trying to give you some facts that if you're in the situation, you should look at them, and maybe I can give you information in that space of things you don't know you don't know. And I just had the countrywide mortgage from hell, and I had a second mortgage, not only a first mortgage. I had two mortgages, and they didn't have to do that in the beginning. They took all of my cash. The cash that I put down on the house, I put $50,000 down in the house, went nowhere to me mm-hmm. on that mortgage.
Another thing I was going to throw in on this is just, this is for people, stay away from the loans that have the balloon payments that impresses on everybody's Achilles heel, because what happens is that you've got 10 years or 20 years or whatever the thing is, and it's very easy to think, well, I've got enough time, I'll start saving for it or whatever. That actually is a really, it's like a credit card on crack cocaine.
Yep.
That's what a balloon payment is like, having a credit card on crack cocaine. Because what happens is it gets pushed off. Current things that are local to you get done. You pay this out, you pay that out, and before you know it, you're running out of time, and then bad things start happening, whatever, and you don't have the balloon payment, and suddenly you've got bad.
That's right.
The balloon payment is crack cocaine credit card.
It's horrible. It's absolutely horrible. And, you know, the thing is that, you know, for me, why I even entertained that was I figured I'm not going to live to 100, so they could just take the house. I didn't care, and I'll just stay in the house the whole time and pay, because I'm going to pay somebody. I'm going to pay somebody rent, or I'm going to pay somebody my mortgage, so I'll just pay that. But I couldn't get the payments down lower than I could rent. Mm-hmm. And I was stuck. There were too many downsides to this than upsides. So I said, it's just stupid to stay. So I just said, no, make the decision, cut the cord, that's it, go, and then move forward. That's how you change your life. That's how you make, you know, I believe that the things that I teach in my coaching, I have to be absolutely positively congruent with, and this makes me very congruent. You know, I took the emotion, I looked at what was good, what was bad, I threw out the bad, made the decision, and we're onward and upward. I'm not looking back at all, and I'm totally 100% happy in my decision. And so that's where you have to get to move forward. You cannot wallow in what you did. Yes, I have memories. Yes, I have stuff. And I know, I absolutely know with tremendous certainty that if my mom was sitting next to me, she would tell me to do this. So I feel very good about it, and I'm excited about it. I'm looking forward to it, and watch my dust, baby. That's all I can say. Uh-huh. I'm ready to go now because it'll free me up. I mean, it's just been an albatross for 4 years on my shoulders. Yeah. Now it's gone. I mean, it's like you can't imagine what that does to you emotionally. It was like a drip, 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 and then finally it's like, you know, you can't take it anymore. And it's like, okay, I'm done, I'm out, and that's it.
Yeah.
When you cut that cord emotionally and you just make the decision, it is like, it is such a freeing experience that it's worth 100, it's worth millions, just millions emotionally. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. that's the way I feel. I feel great. I'm excited. I hope this helps somebody. And what are your questions?
Well, my question was, in a perfect world, what would they have done? And
perfect world
would have been they would have reduced the principal.
Yeah, the principal. They would have reduced the principal. They would have put me at the current rate, and they would have just left me alone.
Gotcha.
You know, okay. but that's just not out there. I mean,
another question: would you be willing to rent the house from a new buyer?
No, No, because that would feel like I didn't move on. That would keep me emotionally attached. Mm-hmm. It still wouldn't be mine, and I would feel. I don't know. It just I even have the opportunity to rent two blocks away, a bigger home than this, a mm-hmm. totally renovated new home two blocks away from where I live. And I said, I can't watch somebody drive into my driveway.
Gotcha.
So I couldn't do that either.
That was a question from the audience. So I just wanted to ask that.
Well, no, you know, and I appreciate that. I thought about it. That did come into my thinking of you know, having somebody. You know, I could have gotten one of my guys in New York to buy the house and rent it back to me, but I didn't. I just didn't want. I wanted to. If I was going to cut the cord, I want to be on my own. I don't need this. My business is expanding like crazy. So, you know, I don't need this. I just don't need it.
Question from someone who sounds like they might be a tax professional. I don't know for sure. Hey, Robin, it might be advantageous for you to check with a tax professional about any programs available that can help you with any taxes associated with forgiveness of debt capital gains mm-hmm. that you will be responsible for the
I've
difference between the short sale price mm-hmm. and the debt owed.
That's
so,
been done. I did that already. Again, I've done my due diligence.
Will you be subject to those taxes?
No. Totally. Okay. No subject to taxes if I do it before December.
Oh,
and that's another reason why I'm on a crunch to do it, because it takes 2 to 3 months to have the short sale go through, and I will not be responsible for any of the debt, and my credit will be fixed, and I also got the additional piece of information at the last consultant to get a document at closing saying that the debt was totally released and that for the last 4 years it's been under negotiation, so that it shows up in my credit file that way and that I am totally free of any of those debts, and that there is no taxes or capital gains on it if I do it before December. Close before December, but that's when that ends.
Also, gather up all receipts on any work done on your home over the years, and it can, in most cases, be put toward the reduction of the capital gains associated with the short sale, but you've already been alleviated of that problem.
And I think that's a state-by-state thing. I think that's not true. I think that law is an Obama law that ends December, and I believe it's for all states, but you should check your local government, because every state's a little bit different. But that's what we have in Nevada, and I will not have any of that on there. That was another big reason to just do it.
Now, Pete also says, look into a company that goes by the name Accurate Financial, I believe is the name. Mm-hmm. They're experts at those old countrywide mortgages that are now the responsibility of Bank of America, and some of those were written on shaky deals. You might actually have a case there.
I went that route, too.
Oh, did
like
you?
I said, I've been doing this for 4 years. I went that route, too. There was a group. There was a class action suit that was in Nevada. I checked. It's been taken care of already, and it's gone, and it's kind of gone by the wayside. But what happens with that is if you go into a class action suit, you're with everybody else in the class action suit. Mm. Or
everybody gets $3
and everybody, you spend a lot of time, nothing's changed, and it takes forever, because I think that lawsuit they put in 09, and it just got done 9, 10, 11, I think it got done in 12. Took 3 years to put that through with a class action suit, and I don't know what they came out with. And there was a handful of people that did that, and I looked at that. And then because I know, in fact, I was going to do it privately through a paralegal, and it's a process, and I would pay the paralegal $2,000, and they would physically take me through the process of suing the bank, mm-hmm. that you finally get in front of a judge, and the judge makes a decision based on your case, because, you know, I had a hardship, and based on your case, the judge would do one of three things. Number one, they would force the lender to reduce your mortgage and your principal and give you the rate that was there, which is the ideal situation. Or they would do a thing called cash for keys, where you would just leave the house, you would be totally not responsible for any of the debt, and you would get between $3,000 and $7,000, and you hand the keys over and everything stays. or no, you're allowed to take whatever you installed. And then there was another one where it just didn't work, and you didn't agree, and you'd start all over again. The process takes forever. That is the problem. I've been 4 years doing this. I'm done. I'm just finished. I'm just.
Well, and remember, we saw this thing with Bank of America, how they were purposely, they were paying bonuses to people to cause you this very grief that you're going through. You'll probably find that that's going to be the case with these other finance companies as well. And, you know, I'd like to string these people up, you know, that we're doing this and drive my Chevy Spark, like, right through them, back and forth.
You know, if I had the financial wherewithal to hire my own private attorney to go in there and do that, which is a fortune, just a fortune, I would say yes. But then you're sitting again with this stuff on your head, and I'm a head person. That's what I do for a living. I need to get this off my head. I need to build my business. I need to get out there and help more people, do more tools for traders, and this is just bogging me down. And so I need to get it out of the way.
One last thing I'll throw at you is that, you know, when you live in a place, you know, like a home that you grew up in and all these nice feelings and memories, and you end up believing, we all do this, you end up believing that the home is where the magic is, the place is where the magic is. Mm-hmm. The magic's in you.
Right.
You're assigning the magic to the place. You're assigning the magic to the location and so on. And have you ever known somebody who you were close with, they lived in a house, and boy, they moved out, and you thought, boy, the house was so special. Once they're gone, the magic moves with them now to where they are.
Exactly.
And you look at the old house and you think, wait a minute, the magic's not there. And you thought the magic was in the property. It's in you.
Yeah.
It's actually in you. And you're assigning it to places, people, things, and so on. And once you understand that, you're free of these feelings that there is something magical in this particular spot, place, whatever.
It's funny that you say that, because when I went back to New York, I was about, I think it was last year, and you could still drive around. There was no snow on the ground. And I went to my home that I grew up in, and I drove up, and the owners were getting out of their car in the driveway, and I went up to them, and I said, I just wanted to let you know my dad built this house. You know, this was where I grew up. Oh, you're kidding. And I said, you know, and I told them the story of how the house was built and how the neighbor next door sold us the land and how we built it. And he says, oh, my mother just bought that house. And so the two houses, so interestingly, are still connected. The energy was still there, that these two houses were connected by the same family. It was just amazing. I mean, it was just it was wonderful to hear them talk about it. And they were, you know, he was very generous and he was very kind. And
when I first had moved to Boulder City, Nevada, which is where I had lived for many, many years, I had moved into a house purchased a home, and at some point after I was there for a couple of years, somebody came to the door, and I'm going to do this same thing myself. It was the son of somebody who grew up in that house. Mm-hmm. And he came back and said, well, my dad lived here, and this is where I grew up. And I could see that he was really, you know, feeling those feelings and stuff, and we walked around and showed him the whole place and all that stuff. And I'm going to do the same thing with my old house in California as well. But I am aware that you really do become aware that it really is in you. It's not in the property. It may be a very beautiful place, but the feeling is what we're talking about, the connectedness, the depth of it. And that is in you. You do not have to go search through the place to go find it and try to grab onto it. It's in you, and you can assign it anywhere you want, but we're not aware often that we are doing that the assignment is taking place. And that frees you from the false feeling that there are special places outside of the specialness that you are carrying for it.
Right.
You know, and, you know, in the emotional way that we're talking about.
Well, I'm ready, and hopefully this helped some people out there. And,
absolutely. It's good stuff.
And that, you know, you won't, you know, I can be an example for people that are in that decision. And again, if I can do anything to help anybody or just give you some, you know, pointers of what to ask, you know, please feel free. Are there any other questions that you have there, Duane? Thank you for the comments that you did already. Again, I've been 4 years doing this, so I think I've covered most of it. I'm sure I've missed something. But I
well,
really
just everyone
have...
wishing you well, and everyone's
Thank
glad
you.
That you've got
Thank
it
you so
resolved
much.
And settled, and now you can move on, and you know all the time and energy that you've had to put into this.
Yeah.
Now you can put it into doing something.
Watch out for those new webinars coming. And the book, and the workshops, and all sorts of things I've got in the plan now. It's all
I would
good.
Caution people, I'm starting to see, I saw the first one the other day, virtually a no-doc loan. Now, this may have just been a come-on, but as interest rates start to go back up and as things start to turn around, we may never see a situation again where, you know, the bag boy at Safeway can buy a $500,000 home. It may not ever get that bad again. But trust me, they will push the envelope as far as they can.
That
push.
Is right.
It's just like a kid, you know, give them an inch, you take a mile, whatever. So just be conscientious and be practical. Mm-hmm. And if you can't afford it, don't buy it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Just I say that to everyone. I say it to myself. You know, there's things in life that I want, and I have credit. I could go get it if I wanted to. But I just have to tell myself, you know, there was a time in my life where I got a feeling of power from being able to walk into a store, you know, with a pocket full of plastic and buy anything I wanted. You know, that was so powerful. That made me feel powerful. Now, walking into a store, seeing all the shiny objects, knowing that I could either own it by paying cash for it, or B, I have the credit, I can get it. And being able to go, that's very nice, you know, pick it up, look at it from all different directions, and then smile and put it back on the shelf and walk away. That's
yeah.
real power.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's
good deal.
Power. That's power that lasts. Okay? That's power that doesn't come back to haunt you.
Yep.
So.
Yep, exactly. So I had one little piece on the countrywide thing. When I said I did my due diligence, I went back and, you know, how much, and I looked at the original loan all the way back and to see exactly what had happened to my $50,000, which again it evaporated. And this is what really turned the corner for me, where I really got ticked off. From 2005 to paying my home mortgage, all the money I had paid in, which I think was over $200,000, $2,000 has only been put towards my principal.
Mm-hmm.
And that did it for me. I said, what was I thinking? How I was so, I mean, I was just, I was ignorant. That's all I can say. And I'm not proud of saying that, but it is the God's honest truth. And I will never do that again. This is my next time I go around, I am going to be extremely smart about buying my next home, and I will be extremely smart about what the details are, and not trust my broker to tell me everything. I'm going to go through that with a fine-tooth comb. I don't care how many pages it is. I will not do that again to myself. So, you know, live and learn. If you have a bad experience, onward and upward. And my paper got transferred to another lender. So I went from Countrywide, Bank of America, to a third party. So, you know, it is what it is. And I'm out. And I'm done. And I feel great.
Well, that's good. I'm really, really glad to hear that. I'm just glad to hear that you've got peace with the whole situation.
Absolutely.
That's awesome. You can't put a price on peace.
Okay.
It's priceless.
Well, again, thank you for listening, and again, I hope it helps somebody, and let's get to the markets. I'm sure people are waiting.
All righty. Dwayne, are you? Anything
yeah,
else
ready.
On your end?
Beige Book's out in 8 minutes. Kieran gives us a heads up.
Oh, that's good to know.
And but it's not, it's like a medium impact report, and it really is beige, in case anyone's wondering.
That's what they call it, then.
Yep.
Well,
right,
I don't know. You know, the market. I'll start. The S&P is super quiet. This is what summertime trading looks like. You know, you have a fishing boat. Well, go out on that boat, because this is what the market looks like in the summertime. Whether the remainder of the summer is going to look like this, I don't know. But typically, the seasonality of the summertime, in the quiet period of the day where we are not right now, where basically about 2 hours after the open, you start seeing this quiet behavior. That in the dead of the summer, which we're almost a month into summer, that's where it really slows down, and that's where you see this behavior. Now, we may still have some volatile spikes. I'm very thankful for the last 4 or 5 weeks that we had of some pretty big behavior in a lot of markets. The S&P is just one of many markets, but seasonally, typically, we see this very thing that we're seeing right now, extremely quiet behavior, extremely narrow ranges. And for the most part, unless you're trading for very small gains, it may not even be something that's interesting to trade. It may be something that you just put aside, or you trade it longer term and you're holding for, you know, a multi-day type of move, and what they do on the hours like this intraday isn't as meaningful to you. So having said that, we're still bullish. I still believe we're going to see higher prices than all the stuff we've talked about previously. I still think we're going to see higher prices. I think there's a very high likelihood we're going to break to all-time new highs. We already did in the September contract today by a tick, but we will probably see further advance, I believe, in this market. We're not done yet. We are testing important, obviously very important levels here, but I think we're going to see a break to new all-time recent highs. So until that happens and until the market picks up in its volatility, I think you might be wise to look elsewhere for a little more volatility to trade, because that's what the traders are looking for. Something that moves gives them an opportunity, and this market is not that market right now. You know, unless you catch it right at the right time, and you may be able to do that, but when it is this slow, there's a lot of time where you're not going to be doing anything. So don't force it, and just find another market that lines up with your expectations, volatility, setup, and so on, and put it to work. There's your update on the S&P 500.
Okay. Very good. We had a trade to be long above 72. It took us up to the weekly high. We spiked above it by just a little bit. It's that weekly zone from last week, 78.79. I still got it highlighted on my chart because it's the most important area on the upside this week so far. Now, that move from 72 to 78, the total swing was 8 points, but just getting back into that area, it was good for 6 points, but then it pulled back, and this is where our traders would have been able to really take advantage of this, not only coming out of the 72 using the slingshot to set up the trade, but on this pullback where we come back in here and get support at the weekly zone of 75-76, that opens the door for the slingshot to give you the couple points here. If we go back and look at the daily chart, which we just did with Mike Reed, we can see, I mean, this thing here, this is kind of important. This is a daily chart. This goes way back. This 38% retracement is based off of the November low of last year. For us to break and continue higher here is going to create an interesting chart pattern. Now, this is daily. If we were to go out to weekly or monthly, don't forget that we're dealing with the largest triple top in the history of all markets ever. I don't have that picture handy, that chart. It's on my other computer, the one that's in transition. But I'll get it up here, and I'll show it later in the week, or I'll put it on the blog. We've got this daily double top layered on top of the largest triple top in the history of the markets. Does that mean, you know, impending doom, sky's falling? No, I'm just saying, just be aware of it. That's all. And for us on the upside, I said this at the beginning of the show, because the ranges are so, the zones are so tight and everything is so congested in here, I don't think I'll send out another tweet until we trade above 1681 and hold it on a pullback, or we trade below 65 and hold that on a pullback. So, guys, on the S&P, we'll continue to do stuff on soybeans and maybe some other markets, but until we take out 81 or 65. Don't look for any more tweets from me on the S&P. We're just going to let this thing work itself out. And hopefully we'll have a busy day tomorrow and hopefully Friday, and that will open up the ranges so that we can have some more volatility next week. But again, we talked about it, the seasonals, the historical, the calendar says it's going to be quiet for a while until the kids go back to school.
It's going to be quiet next week. Yeah, there's no doubt. Okay, let's make the quick round trip. Let's take a quick look around at some of the other markets. The gold market, going back several days, we originally had a top that was due on July 11th. That was one day late for a reflected wave top. Those of you that are utilizing reflected wave know about this. That set up a trade for us on the short side. We had booked some gains down at 83. We got short at 93 down to 83 and 77. Today, they moved higher, and we had been moving our protective stop down. If you don't use a stop in these trades, you're not trading. You're gambling. You have to use a protective stop. So while the market was moving sideways in gold over the last several days, we've been moving our protective stop down. We did get stopped out today, but the whole trade was very good, successful trade. We're net ahead probably by 13 points or something. So we had a nice move in gold. We're bearish, even though short-term we can see some continued advance and so on. We are pretty much bearish on gold until we see new lows in this third quarter or the last quarter of this year, you know, just the last half of the year. I think there's a likelihood that we're going to see that. So, and we'll see how that plays out. That'll give us a, because that's the normal, you know, quote-unquote normal thing to do. And if it doesn't, then that will give some of its own indications, and we'll see how that plays out as well. Beyond the gold, I think we talked yesterday about being in the Treasury bond market. We talked yesterday on the program that the next 2 days, starting from yesterday, which was the 16th, I'd mentioned that the next couple of days, the cycle is up in the bond market, that we could be looking for, or you could be looking for, long positions to take, and that the targets that we had put out to our subscribers were to go long at 135.11, exit some at 135.18, and the remainder at or near 135.30. Today, the market broke out, hit our 135.11 buy, went to the 135.18, and made its first attempt, anyway, at the 135.30. Today's high has been 135.28. And again, we have a protective stop in place. That's to just be sure. Even though we believe it's likely that we're going to see higher prices into tomorrow, hey, it could occur one day early. All of our stuff is plus or minus a unit of time. That's one thing that could happen. Number two, they could have a deeper pullback that we don't like or whatever. You have to have that in place no matter how sure you are. And remember, we are in a downtrend, not an uptrend. We're in a downtrend in the bond market. And you know, with the cycle being up into the 18th plus or minus a day, today is the 17th, we had a nice trade in this, and we'll see how this plays out into tomorrow. Right now, they've pulled back off of today's 28 high, and we're back down trading at 1508. So this is an interesting development. It's maybe the early development that they're putting in a high one day early. We'll see. But without, even with the big two bars up, if you look at your, say, 60-minute chart, a lot of people would think, hey, they're on their way, they're running. And I honestly would think the same thing. But you have to protect yourself with a stop when you're in the position. Otherwise, it isn't really a trade. It's just a place to get in, and now you know, you just hope it goes well. But if it doesn't, then what? And so we have to protect our capital. The capital is the way that we are able to do all this and trade. And the protection of capital means that you sometimes have to say, this isn't working, and step aside. Don't turn it into anything more than that. You know, the first thought, the fact, is the fact, hey, this isn't working, I need to get out. That's fine. It's the second thought that you have after that that's the thing that always cripples everybody. It's, oh, I don't want to get out, or I, you know, whatever the feeling is. It's like, oh, I always get stopped out. It's the second thought. The first thought reflects reality. I better get out. This doesn't look good, or it's hitting my stop. That's you reflecting what's happening. But then it's the second thought that comes in, your opinion about what just happened, your hopes and fears and so on. That doesn't work well in the markets, you going to that second thought. You have to stay with the first and do the right thing every time. And every time is every time, because the one time you don't can, and sometimes even often, will be the time that they just run them. And that's, they're not running them for you, they're running them against you. So got to put that in there. So anyway, so it's interesting to see what we've got and with the bonds. We talked about this yesterday, and we'll continue to watch this and continue on into tomorrow and Friday. We have 2 days left. One last thing I'll say about this is that just by chance, if this is just a pullback and if we do make a new high tomorrow, then that will set up another potential trade for us, but now on the short side. So that's my take on that. Did you want to say anything, Quinn?
Yep, our tweet last night on the bonds, which was, we spent about an hour with the audience in the after show last week putting together this chart and this price channel and the whole thing. And so when we got out of the channel yesterday, it opened the door for us to take our first trade to the upside. And so our trigger to get in was 135.18 on the long side. And the target was this little line right here. Okay. And we got within the swing high, 135.28. So we got within, what did we get within? 2 ticks of that thing. And that is simply because that's an easily defined area on the chart. Sellers will come in there, take advantage of that opportunity. That's no secret that the whole world can look at a chart and see that spot on the chart and push it right back down, which is what we can see here on the hourly. And so this morning, although the swing high was up at 28, so that was 10 ticks in the trade. And when it pulled back to 25 and Bernanke was about to speak, I sent out the follow-up tweet, which said to go ahead and just, you know, if you're still in this thing, it said just go ahead and take some or all profits here on the bonds with Bernanke speaking. And turned out that was the right thing to do. That was our first tweet and first trade on the bonds. But we've got, based on this little map that we created for ourselves the other day, go back to the, now, if we come back through the top of this box, we're going to be trading it short down to the bottom of the box. And that box is 51 ticks, so 1,500. So this was just a little kind of dip our toe in the pool. If they continue to rally, each one of these boxes on the way up, that's another rung on the ladder, and each one of those is 51 ticks, with the exception of this one here. Each one has a reason behind it. Just like this one over here, if you look at the swing high of this candle, right here, the high was 135.12. So we didn't want to get, you know, jumped in on a spike, so we wanted to be, let me open this up a little bit so it's easier to see. So what we were doing is we were exploiting this little piece of real estate right here. From, you've got the high of that candle, and then you've got the high of this candle and this retracement line right here. So all we were doing is we were trading inside of that little area right there. That little area right here represented for us a place where there's no obstacle. There's nothing in our path. It's just, now, it doesn't mean that sellers couldn't have swooped in even earlier than they did. Okay, notice how they came in right before they got to the high of this candle and right before they got to this line. So doesn't, just because you can find these areas in a chart where there's no obstacle to the trade, doesn't mean it's always going to be a successful and profitable trade. But what you've done is you've managed to identify an incredibly, incredibly high opportunity trade. And now this is on the daily, but in putting that trade together, we drilled down to the hourly and we got really, really close to the metal putting those numbers together. And we'll continue to do this with the bonds. Again, that was our first trade. You know, it's always nice to have your first one coming out of the gate, do good. Hopefully you don't jinx yourself. Sometimes that used to, when I used to hire guys, to be salesmen, if they closed their first sale, it was like, there was a thing in the office. It was like, oh boy, you know, he might as well just go ahead and terminate that guy. He closed his first deal. He'll never make it. So we try to stay away from those superstitions now that we've grown up and entered the world of, trading. But,
that's right.
We'll see. We'll see.
All right, so let's see. Let's move beyond the gold and the U.S. Treasury bond market. You know, the euro and the dollar are both moving big. Our last forecast, we haven't done anything with the euro, but the last forecast for a bottom we gave out on the program was for the week of July 8th. Take a look. They've had a huge move up from the low of 127.55 up to our target. In the 132 range, but it all happened in like 2 days. This was when the announcement, the Fed announcement, but also Bernanke was speaking and taking questions from people. And so whatever answers he gave really prompted the market to move very quickly. This is how markets work. You know, sometimes they give you a nice, slow, easy-to-get-in position. Sometimes they just throw it all at you at once. You know, you just have to be ready for just about anything. It's not that you necessarily have to know what the market's going to do, but you have to know what you're going to do if the market gets there. You have to know what you're going to do if the market pulls back. You have to plan out what you are going to do. Maybe instead of trying to figure out what the market's going to do, you need to figure out what you're going to do. Then you can go and figure out what you think the market's going to do, because you have to know what you're going to do in response to what the market does. Not on the fly, but in advance. You know, and I know what to do. Yeah, I know how to handle the market. I've been around markets, you know, whatever. You have to plan it out every time because the market has a way of doing everything differently, even though they do the same thing. They do it differently every time. It does it the same way, differently, every time, if that makes any sense. That's how the markets are. They're as big as life, and they have just as much variety. All the variety you see in life, all the different bugs and creatures and skies and oceans, all that variety is jammed into the market's expression. And so that's why it's so different every time, because you're taking the vastness of life itself and trying to express it in just three different things, up, down, and sideways. That's all of life is pressing through. That's why I've always been saying, you know, the markets are as big as life. It's all of life is trying to press its way through there. All of the variety of expressions in life are trying to be known in the market, trying to express themselves. So that's why the market's different every time, because it's just as big as life, just as big and variety-filled as regular everyday life is. You know, you get up in the morning, you go out of your house, but it's a little different every day. There's always a different thing going on and so on. You go to the rainforest, you see creatures you've never seen before. Have anybody ever been to a rainforest, ever been to a place where, you know, the bugs have these, I'm sure you have, Dwayne, where the bugs have these beautiful, big, bright colorings and strange, you know, helicopter blades going over their head. And I mean, what is this? You know, it looks like something out of a fairy tale. Just don't get close to them, though, because they do bite. But all of that variety is trying to get through the market in just those three movements, up, down, and sideways. That's why the market is tricky. It's because it has all that variety in it. So keep that in mind. That's why you have to know what you are going to do in response to what they're going to do in advance. Don't do it on the fly. You know, I'll wait to see how I feel when they get up there, you know, and all that stuff. You've got to have your plan set into motion so you can take action on it. If you don't have that plan, it means you have a false confidence in your ability to handle things that you don't even know are going to happen. And that's not a good place to be. Plan your trade and then trade your plan. That's an old saying. Anyway, let's go on over to the crude oil market. I don't have anything new to add to crude except that I'm bullish on crude. This recently completed our largest forecast for about a $20,000 per contract move. They got up to 106, which was our target from starting from the monthly low in April. And I do think it's likely we're going to see higher prices. We certainly are seeing higher prices at the pump. And I think we're going to see $6 gas in California. I'd like to know from anybody what the prices are when they, you don't have to do it today, but whenever they would like to, they can let us know last time they went to the pump what they saw, if we're at, you know, 5 and change or wherever we are. Because if we get up to 109, which it's not an outright forecast for us, but I think it would be good to say that we're highly suspicious that we may end up getting to test or attempt 109 before this bigger advance is over, I would certainly think that we're going to be seeing prices close to $106 a gallon in parts of California if crude does get up there. And so if somebody wants to, they can let us know. You know, just chat into Dwayne there and let us know what you're paying for gasoline. Unless, of course, you drive an electric car. Then you won't be needing to visit the gas station now, will you? Of course not. Okay, I look at the gas stations, and I vaguely remember having to pull in and do things there, but I'm not sure what I was doing there. I just don't even remember. It's been so long. Okay, let's see. A couple other markets we might want to talk about. We have been watching and are continuing to watch the Australian dollar. The dollar, I think, has a top that's due right in this time frame, around the 18th, plus or minus a day. Tomorrow's Thursday, the 18th. And I think there might be a short position that is in play here. So you might want to take a look at that.
Which market?
The Australian dollar.
The dollar.
Yeah. Now, if you want to fly to Australia, you're going to be on an airplane for an awfully long time. It's a really long bunch of flights. By the time you get there, you've lost memory at that point of where you even started the flight from. Many people stumble off those airplanes, and they're not even sure what they're doing there. But finally, you do come to your senses, and you're in a very pretty place, very unusual country. I've never been there, but I have friends that have gone there, and they said it's a stunning piece of country. It really is.
Geographically, and it's very diverse. There's a lot of barren. Well, if you saw that movie years ago where the fellow went walkabout, Dundee, Crocodile Dundee, a lot of that. And but the people are really fascinated by Americans. They really like us, or at least it was. Gosh, I was there late 70s, early 80s. So, but I don't know that if it's changed or not. Americans aren't liked. You may or may not know they aren't liked in some parts of the world. In fact, we were under persecution when we were in Amsterdam. They were out marching in the streets against Americans. We had to, like, speak in fake accents when we were in the elevator just so we wouldn't get beat up.
Huh.
But in Australia, we were liked. That was recently. But in the 80s when we were there, actually the women, truth be told, we were sailors and we were out on liberty. And the Australian ladies liked us very much because American men were known for being gentlemen and for treating their women very nice. Whereas the Australian fellas, they were known to be perhaps a little rough and heavy-handed with their women. So what would happen is when we as sailors would go out on liberty in Sydney or Perth or Fremantle, we would find it very easy to get a date. And there was also a good chance on that date that you were going to get jumped and get beat up by a bunch of drunk Australians. So if I were to shave my mustache off today, you could see the scar. It's right there.
Well, there you are.
I carry it to this day. Yeah. True story.
You got beat up by a bunch of drunk Australians?
I did.
Oh.
I did.
Well, there you
they
are.
Can drink.
Yep. I was out at the bar and girl and a good time and said the wrong thing and
never mind.
They let me know what for. So, and then I went back to the ship and the and our corpsman patched me up, and then I grabbed a couple buddies and we headed out on the warpath to go make things right. And I think we ended up drinking with them before it was all over with. So.
Aw.
I had many trips there. Many trips there from working with digital and
was Sydney.
Yeah, mostly Sydney, but I had the Pacific Rim, so I traveled from Boston through Chicago directly to Tokyo, and then came all the way down the Pacific Rim, Malaysia, Singapore, Hong Kong, and Sydney. It was fabulous.
All the places I went, Tokyo is a place that I have just no desire to go back to. That at one time, that was the most expensive real estate on the planet. I don't know if it is anymore. But downtown Tokyo just was astronaut long before we saw those crazy real estate prices here in the U.S. Did you make it inside of the Sydney Opera House, Robin?
Yes. In fact, my hotel was not far from there, and I would do a run because there's a beautiful park right next to it, and I would do a run there and back to the hotel, and it was fabulous. It was just, it's like, you know, when you see it in pictures all that time, and then you finally are there, and then, and also over the bridge that goes over there, you can go to the top of that bridge that crosses over the river there. It's fabulous. That one little area is really fabulous. And then, of course, I had to get my sheepskin slippers because they're big on sheep there, so.
It was nice, but I, you know, of all the places in the world where you can go and travel and visit, I don't have any real desire to go back there. I enjoyed my time there. It was a good time, except for the getting beat up part. But it was nice, but no real desire to go back. A lot of places I've been, I just, you know, no desire to. New Zealand I haven't been to, but I think I would like to go and see what that's all about.
Exactly. That's one of the places on my list as well. But, you know, the thing that's interesting about Australia, because it's a huge, huge country. I mean, Sydney's just such a teeny, teeny, teeny piece part of it. But what's interesting...
Most of it's uninhabited, though.
Exactly. You cannot live there. But the interesting part of Australia for me is the culture and the Aborigines, because the Aborigines... is a dying culture, and they've been, you know, trying very hard to, you know, not lose that culture, but they're really being pushed out, and the elders are not transferring the information to the younger people, or the younger people don't want to stay with the, you know, in the colony. I mean, it's just like the American Indians, you know, or American Native Americans. We just you know, the culture is so important to preserve, and the Aborigines are really a fascinating people. I've done some study on them, and it's really amazing how they live and what they believe and what they eat and drink and the connection to the earth, and, you know, a lot like our Native Americans. So it's sad to see those cultures disappear because they have so much value.
Well, I'm going to travel beyond Sahara and Decatur soon.
Oh, good.
Here in Las Vegas, there's a cross street, and I haven't been really past that in a number of years.
This is not good, David.
David. You're a well-educated man, a Renaissance man, whatever that means. You should go see the world.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of cool. Are you not afraid to fly? Are you?
No. I've flown many, many times. As a matter of fact, if there are a couple of places that I would like to visit in this world, and one of them is England. I would like to go where Layla lives. I would like to meet and see the people of England.
Mm-hmm.
I have English in me. That's not really necessarily why, but I do feel a connection towards them. I would like to see that, and I will at some point
You want to go to London just so you can say you've been to London and you see the palace and all of that, but get out into the countryside and meet the people. And I'll tell you what we did years ago that was just really what a great vacation it was. We went to Ireland. I bought this trip. It was Christmas Eve. I hadn't bought my wife anything. For some reason, I had one car in the shop. My wife was using the other car. I was stuck at the office in the church downtown. I had no way to get to the mall. Nobody to take me. All I had was some plastic and an internet connection. And I was like, how are you going to pull this off, dude, on Christmas Eve? Went online, found Yahoo back then. I don't know if they still do. Probably had a travel department. I went to the travel department of Yahoo, started scrolling through their vacation packages, found this beautiful package to Ireland, it was like $500 per person. Now, what do you hear what this included? Now, what year was this? This was 03 or 04. For $500 a head, we got round trip airfare to Ireland. We got a rental car, and we had a 5-day bed and breakfast package. So what happened is you fly in to the airport, you get out, you spend one night in a hotel, the next day you pick up your rental car at the airport, spend the first night there, wherever the airport was, and then they give you this little guidebook of all these bed and breakfasts all over Ireland. Now, Ireland's not that big a place. You can drive from one side of the country to the other in a day. But we just struck out driving, and the first day as it started to get dark, I was like, okay, what town are we in? Look at the sign, get out the little guidebook. And in each little town, there'd be 3, 4, 5 bed and breakfasts listed. And so you would just call and go, hey, I'm in blah, blah, I'm on this package. Do you have a room? Oh, yeah, come on over. So they would give you directions. You'd drive to their house.
That's
awesome.
They
would welcome you in. You would stay in these people's house, and it didn't include your dinner. So you'd go back out into the town, go to a little pub and have your dinner and come back, stay at their house. And then the next morning you'd wake up to the most incredible breakfast. They have this bread. It's called soda bread. And, oh, man. We would have these incredible breakfasts, and they would let you, like, you know, take some to go, wrap it up in a napkin kind of thing, you know, some bacon, some soda bread. So we would have our lunch, like a little picnic lunch left over from breakfast each day, and we would just go driving and visiting old castles and taking pictures in the countryside. And then about sundown, we'd whip out the guidebook. Oh, what town are we in? Okay. Make a couple phone calls. Never once did we not find a room. So if that type of a tour package is available, guys, it would be worth it at 3-4 times the price, and I'm sure it is more than what we paid, but because a lot of years have gone by. But the people there are just so nice and so friendly, and that thing that I think you're looking for in England, perhaps, David, in the countryside,
mm-hmm.
Boy, you can sure find it in Ireland, too. So I've been to England and been to Ireland.
If Layla is listening, don't be surprised if I show up, honey. All I've got to say.
I have dibs first.
All right.
I made arrangements first.
All right, let's
see. Interesting tidbit, Dwayne. The Native Americans are allegedly Benjamites.
Huh.
And Dan, you're going to have to...
I never heard that before.
Well, Benjamites are out of the Bible.
Uh-huh.
Take it. Can you please ask Dave about natural gas? I will. Population of Australia, 20 million? No, David still has the Volt. He's a 2-electric car man now.
That is correct.
You got the second one.
Is Euro still under
Good.
A daily top?
Okay, well, let's take these real quick one at a time. And, again, I want to apologize in advance if there's any noises that come through from my end. If you don't get to hear them yesterday. Okay, that's good. I'm glad. Let me get over there real quick. The euro was on a weekly bottom, which was the week of July 8th, which we've had, of course, a large move up from. And then your question is... give me just a moment here. Okay, so
the
back
euro
on,
still under a
on the daily.
Top.
Yeah, what the euro had done was it put in, this is a little long in the tooth at this point, but the top was due July 12th. They had a pullback. They made a big swing high on July 12th, 132.12. They pulled back to 129.96, had a decent decline. And then they've rallied up here. It is under a daily top. But I would be looking for, and I don't know if the listener is utilizing this methodology, reflected wave or not, but there are some things you can do in these situations. And if you are somebody that went to our course, you're more than welcome to give me a call, and I'll explain some things that it would be difficult to explain verbally on the radio without everybody knowing. So I'll have to answer if there's anything else that you can do with it actually live to an individual, and you're more than welcome to call me if you want to. There was one or two other markets we can cover real quick, and one of them is natural gas, but I wanted to talk a little bit about the copper market because, you know, these are real trades, and they have real consequences, good and bad. We had gone long in the copper market back on July 9th and 10th at $305, $305.05. We held that position. It rallied to 320. We booked some gains and so on. We moved our protective stop up, and we got stopped out today at 312. So we bought it at 305, so having a stop at 312 locked in those gains. We're bullish on this market, so we are still going to be looking for a further entry on that market. So we'll talk about that more as the week continues. We're at Wednesday now, so we're halfway through the week. And we may even have something tomorrow in copper to do. So how they handle today's whole thing, you know, is fine. Now, one thing I do want to say, a person can say, well, you know, maybe you moved your stop up too far and they stopped you out. But the issue isn't whether you moved the stop up too far. The issue is, what are you willing to risk for the remainder of this position? That's the issue. It's not that you're trying to avoid being stopped out. You're trying to manage the risk, and there is a difference between those two things. People don't want their stop to get hit. That's only one half of the picture. The real half of the picture is what are you willing to risk for the remainder of this trade? We already had a move up to 320, and we're long from the 05. So the market has moved up. We need to find a spot that would make us uncomfortable if the market was there, and also suitably fits our risk framework, you know, what we want to risk on the remainder of the trade. And so remember, there's a lot of little funny things people do with stops and with trying to avoid being stopped and all that stuff. Many, many successful trades that make money, get stopped out. In fact, if you're a trend follower, they all do.
Sure.
They all do. Every last one of them gets stopped out. That's how the trade finally ends. So just keep that in mind, that you're really saying to yourself, we got a good thing going here. What now would be, what are we willing to risk on the remainder of this trade? Because that changes with time, what you're willing to risk. The market may have done some things. It may have reached some targets, you know, and on and on. And so we moved our stop up to a place that managed our risk for us. And in this particular case, very nicely above where we entered. I think copper has much, you know, we have some good things coming up in copper, I think. So we're going to watch it over the next couple of days. We'll talk about it. And, you know, if copper does something unusual or surprising, I am getting ready to trade the surprise as well, because there may be that's a possibility. Remember, you don't necessarily have to know what the market's going to do, but you surely have to know what you're going to do if the market gets there. That's the part that you do have control over, that you can directly know what you're going to do. If you find yourself saying, I'll see what I'm going to do when it gets there, then you're doing nothing more than what the guy who says, well, I don't use stops, but if it gets down there, I'll think about what I'm going to do at that time. And that doesn't work out so well in the markets. You have to act decisively in the markets to protect your capital, to take your profits, and so on. Decisive action is what you have to be able to take. If you're going to wait around and see how you feel, you are a gambling man. That's what you're doing. You're not trading. You're not investing. So that's my opinion.
The copper here on the daily chart, guys, from this swing high down to the swing low, we're just looking at the last leg down. From the high to the low, we had a 50% retracement. We've been going sideways at that area. Now, if we take out this high and this high, we run right into the 62. Then we got this little bit of a gap here. But if we can get up above 327, okay, 327 opens the door for a nice move to go up and challenge this previous swing high, which is at 339. So there could be a really nice, we had a little two-penny trade here between the 38 and the 50 the other day. We tweeted that one out, and that worked out okay. We haven't done anything with it since then. We might try to pinch a couple off in the between these two levels. But the one I'm really interested in is if it can get up into this area, that could make for a nice trade. So we'll watch that.
Yeah.
Did you say you've got longer-term bullish outlook, bearish, did you say?
I did. We right now, and I don't want to sway people too strongly in one direction or the other, but we are longer-term bullish, and we're looking to see the market confirm that and then take advantage of that. In fact, this trade that we were in, already from July 9th and 10th. This is the that was our first attempt. I mean, it worked out as a trade, but it really was an attempt to be in for the possibility of a much larger move. And so we'll see. We'll still work with it. It's like it's the stalking the trade thing. It's Trade Stalker. You know, it's Mike Reed. It's we're looking at it. We know what we think is likely to happen. We want to see further confirmation of that, and so on. And really, it's nothing but pure fun to do it and to know from yourself that you're going to do it practically. You're going to know what you're what like what Robin was saying. Know what it is that you know. Stay on top of knowing what you're going to do under a given set of conditions, and know all that stuff in advance. If you can do that, you're doing all the forecasting you really need right there, just to know what you're going to do under a given set of conditions. I happen to be I do love, and I always, just from day one, the market's always meant something to me with regard to forecasting and being able to say that there's something natural at work here and try to work it out and see if I could find something. And indeed, those things have become a very big part of my trading. But what I wasn't getting back then was that I needed to know what I am going to do if the market gets to a number, what I'm going to do under sets of conditions. And that's what everybody needs to know, no matter what your particular set of trading tools are. So, all right.
There's a question for you from Ed. Ed says, Dwayne, per your charts, it doesn't look like price went back to 312. Is that where David was stopped out at? Well, I'm not sure.
It doesn't look like your chart has gone back to 312, actually. That's a good observation.
Now, this is a daily chart, so I don't know. I don't even know what day you were in that trade. What day were you in that trade?
Well, we've been in it for many days, but
well, you got in back down here at 305, right? Is that what you said?
We did, but okay. Today's low is 311. You probably have a delay on that chart, or you must have a significant. Do you have a delay or?
No. This is real time, and this is a Globex chart. Now I'm using the continuous symbol. What month? I'll change the symbol and see if that makes a difference.
Yeah, because they're definitely below 316. They're trading at 313
GHG,
right now.
GHG, what month are you in?
We're in September. That's part of your problem right there.
GHGU?
Yes.
I wasn't sure if you were using G as a March or something, but it's September's U, yeah.
Oh, no, I'm using the continuous symbol.
Oh, okay. So go to September.
Okay, because right now it says we're at 318.
No.
Continuous.
Yeah.
And if we switch it out to...
There you go. That's the real chart, Dwayne.
That's September.
Yeah.
Well, they're both real charts. It's just that August is the front month, and it's still being traded. That's why it comes up under the continuous symbol.
Yeah, absolutely.
I found that out with soybeans the other day. You have to, guys, when you use the continuous symbol, in some of these markets, okay, now this is not true for the S&P or... For some of the markets, like soybeans, and here we see an example of it in copper as well, if you just use the continuous symbol, it's going to give you the front month, which is August, which is still trading. But the bulk of the volume has already switched over into September. So see the difference? Now, see, this is the September contract. Now, if I take it to GQ... which month is the front month right now, Bert? What's the letter?
September. I think September is.
Yeah, September. There is an August contract, but it doesn't. Then it's real fast.
Yeah. You always want to trade the lead month. I mean,
but that's the one that's showing on the continuous chart, correct, Bert?
Yeah,
it's probably showing you like an August price.
It is, and until August expires, it'll continue to show it. But you're not going to be trading in that.
Well, look at that.
See, this is the continuous month.
Yeah,
at GHG.
Oh, well, now your continuous looks correct.
Yeah.
Before it didn't.
Well, it still hasn't come down to 312.
Oh, I see. Okay, no, that's right.
In
September, it got down to 312. I'm sorry. So, yeah, you just have to – we trade the lead month. That's the place to do it. And
the lead month is August.
No,
this is September.
Right, there is an August contract.
But it's not the lead.
and it is trading. Well,
it
by the lead
trading.
Month, you mean the front month, right? Maybe that's just a, you can use.
Yeah,
front
that's
month
my way of
lead
yeah,
month.
Front month is the what you're trading in is September. That's the
okay.
most current and active, you know. So.
Right, but the front month just means it's the one that's right in front of you, August. You might not be trading August, but it's there. And that's
right.
why the continuous chart is picking it up, right, Bert?
There you go. That's correct.
Yeah, it'll continue to until it expires. But
yeah.
nobody's, you know, all the trading's coming out of that into September. So either way, this is from now on when you show your chart, this is, you know, you probably, well, shortly when the August expires, you'll be able to see it. It'll be different anyway. They'll take that out and you'll have a different
right,
set of
the continuous will become, the continuous
September.
Will become the front month, which is September.
Yeah. So you just have to keep that in mind. Everybody has to keep that in mind when they're looking at continuous charts. I try
well,
not to look at
that answers your
those.
Question, Ed.
And then really quick, just to move on from that, Duane, just somebody had asked about natural gas. We do have some indications in natural gas that are actually for this week and or next week. But natural gas has to move lower. It is in a downtrend. And if it does move lower, we're going to put something together with it. We may be able to talk a little bit about it on the show, but we're not near the prices yet that we are going to be taking action on. But in the general, bigger picture, our preference, as this is opposed to a forecast, our preference is to see lower prices prior to us getting interested in doing anything on the long side. So we're not interested in the long side. We prefer the short side.
What month
of
are you in
natural
on
gas.
Natural gas?
I'm showing August right now.
Okay, so see, that's one where if you run the continuous,
it's a little shoot
match.
It's
going to be the same.
Right.
There we go. What about soybeans?
Yeah, well, you can get them at a sushi bar, and they heat
right.
them up and put them in a little
yeah.
dish.
Also known as edamame. We had
edamame.
On that original tweet that we had earlier in the week to be long of us 78, that first swing, which we showed yesterday how you could take that only risking 8 ticks, that one was a nice swing. And then we had another swing where you only had to risk 8 ticks, which gave up 10 cents. And then another one today, price coming back to once again test that important price and area at 1278 and again giving a 10 cent move with only 8 ticks of risk. So 10 cents, guys, that's 40 ticks. It's 4 ticks per cent. It trades just like the S&P. 1250 per tick, $50 per cent here per point in the S&P. So, man, beans have just been nice.
Yeah, the bean market is a fantastic market. We are waiting for tomorrow to do something with beans. There are some important prices that they reached one day early today, and that sets us up for a potential trade. But we have nothing that we're doing with it just at this moment. So we'll talk about beans as we get a little closer. With regard to that natural gas, though, the trend is down. And we'd like to see somewhat lower prices here before we take any action on the long side. We prefer a short positions only until a little bit of more downside happens. So that's kind of where we are. You know, if you want, you can, for the people who are listening in, we give a whole lot more detail in our professional traders group, which is something that you can listen into if you'd like to. Get the emails. Watch some of these trades like the gold and the bonds and so on. These trades almost all require overnight margin. So they're more expensive in the sense that you are not spending more money, but you have to have more money for the broker in the brokerage account in order to put the trades together. The upside, though, is that you can also make substantially larger gains if the trade is managed correctly and so on. So, you know, a lot of people want to find a magic thing that just makes them money every day. The magic is in you knowing what you're doing. That's the magic. There's no other magic. The magic is in knowing what you're doing, knowing the market, knowing your indicator set or your tool or your reflected wave, and putting your trading thing together. Instead of trying to figure out how to do it the least effort way, why don't you just dedicate yourself and say, how can I do this the very best way, and go to work and putting together a program for yourself, whatever it is you know, or following somebody else's work, whatever it is. Certainly people that come to our course or go to Duane's, we all teach what we have done with it. But that's not the end of the story. The end of the story is how you end up putting all this stuff together. And a lot of people that I speak with the markets want the easiest way to trade. And I understand where they're coming from, but I would rather you think about what's the best way for you to trade. And if the best way requires you to put in a little more effort, then you know what? That's what you do. And you put a little bit more effort and a little more homework, and you get the results. But if you base everything in life on how to do it the easiest, you might be passing over some really important things that could make it better for you. Better is better than easy. Easy sometimes doesn't. Sometimes easy is very good. But to get better results is a very good thing, and you can get those better results sometimes by just doing a little more homework or really understanding what you're doing better. I'm bubbling with the words, but I think you get my point. I hope you do. So with regard back over to this natural gas, we're flat in natural gas right now, but we'd like to do something with it when they move a little bit lower. That's the next thing that we're looking for. Again, I don't know if I gave out our number, 888-231-4702. You can give us a call and take 2 weeks and listen in and get some of these emails and put some of these trades to work if this is something that fits in your style, you know, for the longer-term trades and all that. As we've been talking, the S&P has finally started to move down a little bit here, starting to put a little bit more action on the downside. S&P hasn't done anything wrong. It hasn't done much of anything at all, but it hasn't done anything wrong either. So the remainder of the week will be important, and tomorrow we'll talk about what we think the important closing levels will be for the S&P this week, and we can get some indications from that for our next and for your next trade and so on. So, Robin, do you have anything left on your bit that you'd like to talk about today?
Yes, we have Coach's Corner on Friday. And if you'd like to put in a suggestion for a topic, and basically if you're challenged by anything, can you just send a note over to Dwayne? And, of course, don't put in there, yes, I can't make any money. That's not what we're looking for. In the topics we want to cover stuff like psychology, but sometimes when you post your greatest challenge, it stems back to a psychology issue or a mental issue, and that's what we want to talk about on Friday. So we do not have a topic determined yet, but your topic can be the one that's considered. So if you would do that, that would be fabulous. I do have a few CDs left on the Sharpen Your Trading Performance, and so if you go onto the website, you can go to the store and check that out. If the person who won the Sharpen Your Trading Performance, you know, wants to comment on, you know, how it was for them, that would be great, because then you could get an idea of, you know, what that CD is. But basically it's a methodology that helps any kind of system or how you're approaching your trades. It helps you to determine a couple things. Number one, how you're moving forward. So it actually, by using the system, you'll actually figure out that you're getting better. And you'll pinpoint what you have to fix. And so that's what's kind of important, is it'll pinpoint what you have to fix, and you can actually see that you're getting better. A lot of times traders will just measure, are they getting better based on their numbers, and you might have a great trade and just you didn't make money on it, and that doesn't mean that you're not moving forward. So the system helps you determine that. It's a 2-hour PowerPoint CD that I do. I'm redoing it. It was originally $4.99. It's $100 because I just want to get rid of the couple ones that I have, and I'm going to redo the new one, and that's going to come out. So you have an opportunity to do this. It's called Sharpen Your Trading Performance. It's listed under the products on the Robin Dane homepage. Also on there,
Ken said to tell you thank you for the DVD. He got it in the mail yesterday, and he plans to listen to it this weekend.
Great, perfect. And then if we could get the feedback, that would be great, so that people will know. Because and if you have any questions, certainly email me. And as well, if you've never taken the Robin Dane free emotional trading test, you should do that. It's very, very good. It will tell you emotionally where you're stuck, And if you have any other questions about emotional coaching, please let me know or send fire me off an email. I'm happy to talk to you. And then I'm going to give you the quote for the day. In any moment of decision, the best thing you can do is the right thing. The next best thing is the wrong thing. And the worst thing you can do is nothing. Theodore Roosevelt. Let me see. Yeah, I like that one.
Pretty good.
Analysis kills spontaneity, and the grain once ground into flour springs and germinates no more. Okay, so analysis of kills spontaneity. So you don't want to analyze, overanalyze. And one more, let me see. It is better to waste one's youth than to do nothing at all. I'm not sure about that one. Okay. You know, sometimes you get these quotes and they're like, this is kind of interesting. Like, where were these people at when they did this? Luck is being ready for the chance. I like that. Luck is being ready for the chance. Yeah. Luck is a matter of preparation, meeting opportunity. Oprah Winfrey. Okay, and that's my quotes for the day.
I have a quote, too. I actually just want to throw this in. I saw one the other day that I liked, and it is, be grateful for a power greater than you in the universe, which will do for you what you cannot do for yourself. There you go.
Right out of the book.
Yeah. Very nice. So quotes are good.
That's right out of the big book, not the good book. Yeah, the big book and the good book are two different books. But anyway,
you know,
know what the big book is know what the big book is. I won't go
into
details.
The key thing is that, you know, these quotes come from revelations that people have had during their life, and there's so many. I mean, there's so many wonderful ones. And when you take a point in time that reflects what a person's going through emotionally, physically, mentally, and the whole thing is pretty cool. So, we can learn from that stuff. These quotes are, some of these quotes are very inspiring, and I just love them. So, look at quotes. Look at what people, learn from people that have been there already, and it can move you forward faster.
Absolutely. A know-it-all never makes progress because he knows it all.
Right, exactly. But thank you so much for having me on today, Dwayne, and great talking to you, David, and
you too,
Mike,
Dwayne,
and Michael, and I know that Bert's hanging out in the background there. It's good to hear his voice, too. I haven't seen him in a while. We've got to get to Chicago. And have a great day, everybody. Make it a fabulous day for yourself. Make it a fabulous, fabulous day. Do something nice for somebody else. That's a great way to do it.
That's a good one. Thank you very much. See you guys. Dwayne, we'll see you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
I didn't notice what time it was. All I know is that I fell in love with you. And if all my dreams come true, I'll be spending time with you. Every day's a new day in love with you. With each day,
okay, guys, that's going to do it for me. I'll answer any questions if you have them. I'm going to be back at 4:30 Eastern, okay, for the class for everybody that's on the free trial right now. If you were in the class Monday, I made a podcast of Monday's class. It didn't dawn on me because I didn't know how deep we were going to get into stuff, and it turns out we got way deep because it went a couple of hours. Hour in, I wish I had turned the video recorder on, so I will record both audio and video of the class today. I also do need to keep it to 30 minutes if at all possible, which means, with a bit of luck, we'll get it done in 45. Anybody can come, all right? You don't have to be on the free trial, but keep in mind it's designed for the people on the free trial, and so if you're there and you have questions, and there are people on the free trial who have questions, I've got to take their questions first because they're up against the clock. I mean, they only have 5 days to make the determination whether or not becoming a partner. I don't even like the way that sounds. They only have 5 days to make up their mind. Nobody else gives you 5 days. The class that you see, the course you see advertised on TV at night on CNBC, that whole course is 5 days. We give you 5 days on a free trial to determine if it's right for you or not. With them, you pay $7,000, and in 5 days, it's done. Oh, no, I'm sorry. You can get upsold to the next course for another $7,000, and then another one. I think they run out of classes once you spent $35,000. I think that's where they top out. But they'll probably come up with another one. But you know what? The information they teach is actually good information. Some of our best students, and this is no joke, some of our best students, some of the best, how do you determine best? Okay, some of the most knowledgeable coming in the door, CFRN partners, are ones that actually went through that training program. Now, they're not happy that they spent the money and still don't know how to trade, but they, to a man, they go, you know what? Everything they taught me was legitimate, and it was good information, and it helped me to have a solid foundation. And in most cases, people didn't really regret it. I mean, you know, it's hard not to regret it if you spend the money and you still know how to trade. But so I don't want to speak ill of them. I mean, they have their course, and they charge what they charge, and that's fine. It's not – I don't want to sit in the judgment seat on anybody or any company, and you know, that's not for me. I need to take care of my own business. I need to sweep off my own front doorstep. I need to brighten up my corner of the world, as David would say, to the best of my ability. And so let me not worry about other folks. Let me worry about Dwayne and Dwayne's folks, okay, because Dwayne's folks are the people that do become partners. And we give you 90 days. First, you get 5 days. First 5 days is a freebie, okay? We could call it a 95-day course, I suppose, but we call it 90. The first 5 days are freebie. Kick the tires, download the platform, install the indicators, ask lots of questions, okay? Then at the end of 5 days, you have enough information to make a decision whether or not you want to continue your education. Because, see, when you come in the door day one, we start teaching you that day as if you were a partner, okay? You're in the live trading room. You're watching live trades being put on, taken off, etc. All your questions are being answered. All the tools are placed at your disposal. You're given videos to watch, phone numbers to call, all everything. So really at the end of 5 days, what you're doing is you're making a decision as to whether or not you want your education to continue. Because you've already gotten 5 days. Do you want it to continue for another 90? That's the question that you have to answer when it comes time to make the decision. Okay. The only thing you don't get on the free trial, the only thing you don't get access to the video training library, which has 250 hours of live trading and also 250 hours of live training. Total 500 hours of videos that are at your disposal for 90 days. And then if you want to remain an active partner, and many partners do, because you like the sense of community, you like having access to the video vault, you like being able to get those live trading zones every Monday morning before the market opens. So for a nominal fee, nominal maintenance fee, you can stay active for as long as you want. We've got partners that have been active since day one because they just enjoy the fellowship. They enjoy coming on Thursday night. That's the other thing. You don't get to come to the partners meeting on Thursday night. That is a private behind closed doors. That's people who have made a commitment, okay, to being a part of this community. That's where we all kind of let our guard down and we put it all out on the table, okay? We don't hold back, nothing, okay? We speak our minds, we speak our hearts, and in some cases we bear our souls, okay? So this afternoon at 4:30, you're on a free trial, whether it's day one or day five, come ask questions. I'll do my very best to answer them for you. Now, William, I want to make sure you're not in the audience because I got your email, and so I thought you would be here in the audience, and I was going to show you how to execute a trade on the Dom. But as I scrolled through, because I think what you're doing is instead of being in here listening to the radio program, you're actually out there on the platform, on the Dom, practicing or trying to practice putting on and taking off trades, which I applaud. I think that's a great thing to do. Not offended that you're not here for the radio. No, because you said it so well in your email. Hey, I'm on day three, all right? and I gotta get this thing done. And so he was asking for help. I need some help using the DOM, how to put on and take off trades. If he were here right now, I would just show him that it really, with this platform, I mean, once you understand how to use the platform, it's just pretty easy as any that I've worked with. Now, if you go over here to the options, man, there's a ton of stuff you can do. A lot of it you're never going to use. This is how you set your brackets. If you want to factor it in points, the buy side, the sell side, you can have a breakout bracket, you know, just a lot of stuff. Okay. You go back to the options. You can auto sum the bid and ask, show last volume, show tooltip, show break even. Just, and this is a new feature on the latest version of DT Pro. Whatever changes you make here, you can click apply to all DOMs. It used to be you had to pull up a Russell DOM and make all your settings. Then you had to pull up an ES DOM, make all your settings. Now you pull up one DOM, click apply to all, boom. Show cumulative volume. I've never done that. Let me try that, see what it looks like. I don't know where. I'm not sure where that shows. Anyway, to put on a trade, okay, if you want to be a buyer, the bid side, a seller, the ask side, right now price is at $16.74.50. Okay? So if I wanted to buy $74.50, I would just come right over here and left click and I would buy $74.50 on a limit. Now let's say I want to see price get back up above this weekly zone. Let's say just for instance I wanted to buy $77 as price moves back up. Okay. Now if price falls, then I don't even get triggered in. But if price starts climbing, I want to get triggered in at 77. I just go over here and find 77 on my DOM, okay, right there. Now, can you see? You can see my tooltip, okay? Right-click, stop. So I'm going to right-click. It's going to ask me if this is the order that I want to put in. I click OK. This is exactly what your demo platform looks like when you download it. All real-time, no delay on the data. Okay, you click OK. Oh, that's a great point. I meant to tell you guys about that. See how I'm on the continuous contract? We got to do this. We got to get into the ESU3. You got to be in the actual month contract. There we go. So now open up the DOM. I've got this DOM stuck in my platform over here. All right, let's pop over to the soybeans. It'll work just the same. And I can worry about fixing that later because I've already got this set on the month. So we go to the DOM. They all work the same. Okay, so here's the DOM on the soybeans. You can adjust it so that, you know, the real estate, whatever real estate you need on your desktop, you know, pop it in. You don't need much space. You can do that. If you want to see more, if you want to keep price centered, all of that stuff's right in here. Okay. Auto center price. Price will always stay right in the middle. Auto sum, the bid and the ask. Okay. I want to center price. I want it to stay there. Okay. All right. Now this little guy right here, stay on top. If you pin that, now when you go clicking around on this chart, see how that stays there? If you unclick it, it vanishes. You don't want it to vanish. You want it to stay on top, I would think. I think it depends upon your style of trading. I always like, when I'm in a trade, I want mine to stay on top so I can watch it. Okay? So, right here. Let's say our price is at $1,282.75 on the soybeans, $1,282.75. Let's say I want to buy $1,283.75 if price starts to rally, okay? I come over here. I find $1,283.75. That's the price I want to get in at. I right-click. Do you want to buy one November soybean contract at $1,283.75? Yes. I recommend that you leave this order confirmation on for a while until you really get comfortable with this platform and with the mechanics of placing an order, okay? It helps ingrain it. Now, I just downloaded the latest version. That's why I haven't turned mine off yet, okay? You click OK. Trading is suspended. Oh, they haven't reopened for the electronic session. All right, well, let's see if we can find a market that we can actually take a look at. What do we got? Here, let's go here, and no, I don't want to use that one. We'll use this one. Okay, let's go to a 5-minute chart, and let's go to the Dow. We haven't looked at the Dow in a while. YMU3. Okay. All right. So here's a 5-minute chart of the Dow. Okay. The Dow's climbing. Let's open up a DOM. There we go. Price is centered right there. Okay. This might be a little taller than we need. Maybe we don't need quite that much real estate. Shrink it up a little bit. You can still see it. Okay. Nope. I didn't pin it. Let me pin it. Okay. Now, let's say we want to get long the Dow. If price continues higher, the swing high here is 15403. No, the swing high here is 15403. So I'm going to go 15405. 15405. I'm going to right click, buy one at 15405. Okay. All right. See that right there? What'll happen is as the price continues up, okay, if price continues up, when it gets to 15405, it's going to automatically trigger me in. This is a new demo platform. I don't think I've set the brackets in this one yet. So let's do that real quick. Let's go ahead and we'll cancel this order. Okay. Oh, wait, we'll just cancel. Sure, you want to cancel it? Yes. Okay. So now let's go to right here. All right. Buy bracket, sell bracket. 20. 20, 20, 20. Okay. So now let's go put that order in again. 15405. Let's close this up. 15405. We're going to right click so we enter on a stop. Yes. Now, not only will this trigger me in at 145. At 15405 as price comes up through it, but I've already got a target 20 points out, and I've got a 20-point stop loss. Okay. Now, 20 points in the Dow is equivalent to 2 points in the S&P. The S&P pays $50 per point. The Dow pays $5 per point. S&P, $5 per, S&P $50 per point. Dow, see, we just got triggered in. Okay? So now that we're triggered in, now that we're in this long at 15405, we automatically have a target out here at 15425. Why automatically? Because I set my bracket at 20 points. Okay? Okay. Now you set it for each market based upon how you want to trade it. More important than having that target out there, I have automatically got a stop loss. I don't have to go chasing around, you know, putting in a stop. It's there. It's automatic. Okay. Now, if this trade starts to go in my favor, once it gets up here about 154.10, if it's going in my direction, I'm going to get this stop up to, I'm going to quickly reduce my stop to 10. In fact, I'm at 15385. I'm just going to go right now, and I'm going to take it right up to 15395. Okay. So what I did was I just moved my stop up, so now I'm only risking 10 points. Okay, I got a 20-point target, 10-point stop loss. Now, we didn't do any type of chart analysis. We just put this order on so that I could show you how the DOM works. Let's see what we got going on. Let's draw a little trend line across the top of this 5-minute chart. Okay, where do we have resistance to this trade? We got resistance here. Obviously, we have it at this trend line coming down. Let's throw a little reverse Fib on here. Yeah, right about right there is that 62% retracement from the swing high to the swing low. Okay. Any questions on that? Okay, no questions? All right, good. I guess I explained it pretty good. So, we right-clicked to enter on a stop. This price went up and tagged 14505. It put us into the trade. Our bracket automatically gave us a 20-point stop loss, which we've now reduced to 10 points, which is the equivalent of 1 point in the S&P. And we have a 20-point target up here at 14525. Okay. Now I did that with one mouse click. You set your bracket up right here. Okay. I could have made this 5, 10, 15, 20, 30, whatever you want it to be. Okay, you call the shot. That's how easy it is to place an order with the DT Pro DOM. Now that was entering on a stop. There's other things you could do too. You can enter on a limit, okay? And if you enter on a limit, you're gonna left click, okay? Left click. If you wanna sell, you're gonna left click. If you're up above price, left click for a limit. If you're below where price is, left click for a limit, right click for a stop. Any questions? Frank says two mouse clicks, you moved your stop up 10. Okay, Frank, I'll give you that. You're right. So, obstacles to the trade. Obviously, the entry right here, this little swing high on this 5-minute chart, that's an obstacle. The 62% Fib retracement on a 5-minute chart, that's an obstacle. This downsloping trend line, that's got to be an obstacle, right? Okay. So see, you know when you get into the trade what you're up against. If we had taken some time to sit here and analyze this chart, could we have, maybe waited for price to get up above this swing high or this swing high, so that we were only looking to exploit this little area here with no obstacles in our path? Yeah. Again, all I did was I just clicked the chart to get into a trade to show you how to enter a trade. And I'm going to close it unless somebody has a question. Yeah, Ken, you can set a trailing stop. I don't use that function. I always manage my trades right here. So I would just move my stop up as you saw me move this one. But there are, let's see, is it under the strategy button? Stops. See, trailing stop. You can tell it how much you want to trail by. Okay, down here. You can set all this. Now, in order to figure out how to do all of that, you go here. Go here. Go to help. Go to user guide. Okay, and that's going to open like a 125-page PDF, which you can save to your desktop. And then you have that information right there at your fingertips. Okay? It will walk you through the steps of how to do that. Scott, why did I go long at 14505 instead of going short? I wasn't placed. All I was showing, Scott, was how to place the order. I wasn't putting on a trade to be showing you how to trade. I wasn't teaching you how to trade. I was teaching you how to place an order. That's one of the dangers of doing radio. You almost have to talk in sound bites because people get distracted and this isn't the fault. I'm not saying this is somebody's fault. It's just life. You are trying to pay attention. You've got other stuff going on. So you only catch part of what's being said. Now see, if I had not seen Scott's question and answered it, Scott might have spent the rest of the day trying to figure out why in the world I went long there, right? Even though I had said a couple times, this is not I'm not placing this order based on, you know, any kind of analysis. I'm simply showing you how to use the DOM. But he didn't catch that part because he was looking at something. He might have been on a phone call. He might have been answering an email. It's so important, guys, that when you go into training mode, you need to have, and again, I'm not telling anybody how to, you need to, let's just say you're in an office and you're trying to learn how to trade where people are running in and out all the time. Phones are ringing, emails are coming in, UPS guy's showing up with the delivery. You got to haggle with some delivery guy over some shipment fee that, you know, may or may not be right. That is not conducive to you learning how to trade. Okay? You need to be able to focus. Like a laser beam, you need to be able to focus. Now, there may come a day in time when you've been trading for a long time that you can juggle all those balls, accept the delivery from the UPS guy, and put on a trade. But in the beginning, when you're learning, please don't try it because it won't end well. Okay? And our whole goal is that it ends well for you, okay? We would love nothing more than for it to end well. And so each person has to figure out how they're going to make that happen. If you're working a day job, boy, it's really tough. It is. Now, you can come home at night and you can watch those videos of the live trading room, and you can trade overnight. We know the markets aren't as active on the night session as they are on the day session. But at least you can have the quiet and the focus that you need. Okay? If you're trying to learn and do your day job at the same time in the office, please, please, please stay in the simulator. Stay in the simulator until you are consistently profitable. And then only go live with one contract, period. Okay? This is so important. If you don't do that, I'm just going to say it, you will not. There are very few absolutes in trading, but I'm just going to say it. If you don't do that, you will not succeed. You'll blow up your account, you'll get aggravated, you'll get frustrated, and, I mean, you might ultimately succeed down the road when you finally do it right. Okay? And by doing it right, I don't mean learning from us. We are by no means are we the only way to learn how to trade E-mini futures. I feel sorry for the cat, but there's a lot of ways to skin it, okay? Some good, some not so good, some better than others. And you got to find the one that's right for you. That's why we give you 5 days to figure out if this way is the right way for you. So, any other questions on anything? Anything at all? Going once, going twice. Going twice. All right, I'm going to leave the chart up, leave the chart running. Okay. See, prices come back again to this 75, 76 error. It's just been here up and back and up and back. Yes, Alan, there is a higher weekly zone. There's two of them. Got two more zones overhead. But until we clear 81, we've got a tweet. Let me just drag it over here because it still hasn't triggered. This tweet that came out earlier in the week, guys, it's still good. It's still valid. Okay. That opens the door to take us to the next weekly trading zone. And then there's one beyond that. Okay. Now remember, this one's last week's zone. This is this week. This has just been messy. That's why I said Sunday night. I think I said something about maybe you should just go watch Wonderful World of Disney. I don't think that actually comes on Sunday night anymore, but you got my point. I was outside. Did you see my novel? I skimmed over it, Bob. You know. I did get the email with the phone number. If I get a chance, I'll give you a buzz. Gary says, if you want to come to the class this afternoon, Bob, you can, you're welcome to. It's at 4:30. Gary says, click text, and when I type a letter, I get the window showing me different contracts starting with that letter. Okay. This is how you type. Okay, if you just left click on the screen and start typing, that's exactly what it's going to do. That's what it's supposed to do. It gives you all the contracts that start with the letter you just typed. Okay? When you want to type text on the screen, you got to come over here and left click this little clipboard. Left click it, and then it'll turn your pointer into a crosshair, and then go find the spot where you want to actually type. Left click. It's going to print, it's going to type whatever you saved the last time. Now you double click it and just start typing. This is me trying to type. This is me typing. Okay, and then once you've typed it, you can do that. You can right-click it, go to properties. You can make it really big or change the color. So again, if you just left-click on, if you just left-click on the chart and start typing, it's going to drop down whatever letter you type. It's going to try to find the contract that you're looking for. Left click over here on the side, left click on the little clipboard, left click on the chart, double click, start typing. Did that help you there, Gary? No, John, I got that, remember I moved the stop up on that YM trade to, 10 points. Again, it wasn't a trade, guys. It was just me showing you how to place an order with the Dom. It's all, let me say it one more time. I better write a memo. I better do a blog post. It was not a trade. It was just me showing you guys how to place an order using the Dom. But, let's go take a look. Well, the entry was right here at 14505. Okay, and then it drew all the way down to 153. Now, okay, this was the entry. 15405. Again, this wasn't an order. I was just showing you how to place an order. 14505. Okay. Now remember, I had a 20-point initial stop. Okay. So, where would that be? With the 20-point stop, I would still be in the trade. Okay. Had a big drawdown. Came back up. I always start a YM trade off with a 20-point stop. I was showing you guys how you move that stop up. Typically what I'll do is I'll wait for the trade to go about 10 points in my favor. And then I'll bring the stop up to 10 points. And then once price starts to move beyond, you know, like 11 points, 12 points, 13 points, that's when I'm getting that stop up to break even plus a tick. Okay, remember, 20 points in the S&P, I'm sorry, 20 points in the Dow is equal to 2 points in the S&P. The Dow pays $5 per point. S&P pays $50 per point. The S&P has 4 ticks in a point, 25, 50, 75, a dollar. The Dow is just point for point. 20 points, I'm sorry, 10 points in the Dow. Boy, I'm going to confuse everybody now. 10 points in the Dow. 10 times 5 is 50. 20 points in the Dow is equal to 2 points in the S&P. 10 points in the Dow is equal to 1 point in the S&P. And there's no ticks to get you confused in the Dow. It's just point for point. Gary, the double click did the trick on the text. Okay, great. Okay, guys. All right. I'm going to go. I'm going to take a break between now and 4:30 Eastern. Again, the 4:30 Eastern class, it is for those who are on the free trial and need, you know, some questions answered. But anybody can come. There's no pass. I'm just going to leave this room open. If you want to come to that, don't close this GoToWebinar. Leave it open. All right. I'll leave the hourly chart running as I do. Okay. And then I'll see whoever's here when I get back. At 4:30 tomorrow night is partners meeting every Thursday night, 9 p.m. Eastern. Partners, I'll see you all there. If you're on the free trial and your free trial is about to expire and you want to be in the partners meeting, then Michael should have sent you an email already. If you haven't received that email, send an email out to support@cfrn.net. support@cfrn.net. We'll send you out the information you need to become a partner. Okay. Friday afternoon, Coach's Corner, followed by Releasing Kings. Releasing Kings. If you have not read the book, you need to read the book. Go to the website, releasingkings.com. This is more than a book. This is a movement. And you need to learn more about it. You really do. It's about reclaiming the seven mountains. Okay, you may have heard of this. Well, the author of that book is actually a CFRN partner. Okay, doing well. He's on with me every other Friday. It's supposed to be an hour. Turns into two. The first two podcasts are done. We've completed those. They're at CFRN.net. Just Google Releasing Kings podcast rather than me try to give you the thing with all that hack dashes in it. Just type in Releasing Kings podcast to take you right to it. Okay? And so that'll be at 5 Eastern on Friday. At 3 Eastern, we have Robin for the Coach's Corner. And then at 5, we have Releasing Kings. Okay? That's it. All right. Guys, thanks so much for tuning in. Whoever you are, wherever you are, may God continue to richly bless you with His mercy and with His grace. And I'll see you at the bell.
Remember this. There is no greater return on investment than to see a human life changed and given hope. As always, pray hard and trade safe. Any financial information discussed on this show is simply the opinion of our host, Dwayne Reeves, his co-hosts, and guests. To learn more about trading e-mini futures or to take a one-week free trial in our live trading room, call 1-866-928-3310. 866-928-3310. Information discussed on this radio program should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell any security. Always do your own due diligence and consult with a licensed securities broker or financial planner before making any investment decision.